Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. This is Steven Miranda.
And this is Jeff Ellison. It's Monday, October 11th, 2010.
Episode 6.29, the Week 5 Recap Show.
Or the What on Earth Happened This Week Show.
Or the Wild, Wild, Wacky NFL Continues to Be Crazy.
I am still reeling. I am stunned. Monday Night Football just finished, and it was a perfect way to encapsulate a bizarre weekend.
The worst week of prognostication in my life.
I did so badly that I had to go write an article about it as a way to let myself off the hook.
I see. So I read your
catharsis
article.
What'd you think?
Go out and read it. NFLRNR.com, people. Did that make you feel better about,
it did.
You know, your...
Here's what I titled it. NFL 2010 season, parody or mediocrity.
There you go.
And it's all about prognostication and trying to figure out what's going on.
Well, I would think the NFL wants you to call it parody and not mediocrity.
Well, better that than a parody.
Mediocrity has a negative connotation.
Yes, it does. But that is actually a quote that I took from a sportscaster earlier in the week.
So you're stealing.
Did you read my article?
You're stealing.
No, I actually am citing the person and saying this particular broadcast.
I didn't read a cite. I saw that you heard some radio sports guy.
I heard a professional decry the season as one of mediocrity. That's my quote from my article.
Yes, I heard it. So you didn't quote anybody. You just said somebody.
Well, because I don't know who it was. Okay. And I don't want to make things up and say it was probably Colin Cowherd.
Anyways,
it was
craziness all around. There were more upsets this weekend than I can remember. We're going to talk about all the games. We got trades happening midweek.
We have a very special guest for our 49er fans out there and anyone who's really interested in what the heck's going on out there. Matt Maiocco of Comcast Sports Bay Area.
Also known as the Cable Guy or NFL BMOC Bay Area. So we'll get to all of that in a moment.
Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves.
All right, week 5 is finished.
Finally.
I got 5 right.
I got 6 right.
I don't feel bad because Peter King, 4 right.
I want to say this. Well, Peter's not very good at picking frequently. I mean, for all of the things that Peter's good at, that's not what prognosticating is not one of them.
Not one of them.
No. Yeah. But what I hear is from Charlie Brown Christmas special, I hear Charlie Brown, I got a rock. Because that's what it felt like this week. I went to my Christmas stocking. I was, again, just
all
like last week, I was more confident about these picks than I was last week's, which was the most confident I've been about any picks. And I couldn't get to 500, but you know what?
Well, you know, if you look at the first 3 games, we're rocking, Jags.
And if you look at the last
Baltimore,
4 games,
KC, Indy.
Missed all the afternoon games yesterday.
Yep,
that's never happened.
We had a
time window. And mind you, there was only
Arizona
3 games.
Over New Orleans. Come on.
Serious?
Come on.
I still can't believe that. Oakland over San Diego.
Come
Serious?
On.
That hadn't happened in 13 tries.
You know what? The Tennessee over Dallas, that's the only one I can actually truly believe.
Sure. No, that actually happened. The rest of them were mirages. I mean, it was bizarre. And then tonight, for Brett Favre to go out and just look like doo-doo for 3 quarters and then just find a little flash in the pan. And then nothing. And then for Mark Sanchez to start red hot and then nothing. Yeah. What a bizarre weekend.
Yeah.
Carson Palmer becoming more irrelevant. I don't like being right about things
Carson
like that.
Carson Palmer is.
He's done.
As Peter King put it, it's a 3 fire alarm now.
Alarm fire.
Yeah.
That's the phrase.
Well, 3 alarm fire. That's what it is.
I'm working out this morning on my elliptical, doing my couple miles there.
Yeah.
And my computer's reading to me in its computer voice, Peter King's column.
Oh, gosh. Because
it takes about a half hour to be read to.
Do you have to? Yeah.
And so it's perfect. It's a great workout.
They haven't yet figured out how to
a better
read
voice?
Better?
Yes, they have. But Apple hasn't bought that technology yet.
Oh.
So they're actually, because like, for instance, on Sirius Radio, they frequently do text-to-speech that sounds almost human.
Yeah.
It just sounds like it is a computer that is probably reading to you, but the intonation and diction are quite appropriate. You know, it's like I could listen to that.
That's why I can't do the text.
But, dude, to get Peter's entire column while you're working out.
Why can't we get the text to speech from like sci-fi movies where the computer's like hot, like he goes, "Where's computer?" Gene? And she's like, "How you doing, Steven?"
No, that's Gene Roddenberry's wife.
Good to see you again. Oh, really?
The late Gene Roddenberry. It's his wife. Okay. Was the voice of the computer in all the Star Trek series.
Yeah,
all of them.
That's the computer I want to read to me.
Self-destruct sequence engaging in 50 seconds.
Yeah, you can self-destruct all you want, baby.
45 seconds till self-destruct.
I'm self-destructing with you, baby.
I recommend you bail out through an emergency pod now. I am done reconfiguring the rear deflector dish.
Oh, man. Anyways, craziness. Jeff got 6 right. I got 5 right.
And by the way, caught Mort this weekend because Mort and only got 4. So I caught Mort. I mean, mind you, I have a theory about this weekend. If you went better,
how did you catch Mort? Because
he had a horrible weekend.
You were 2 behind me,
right? You caught Mort too.
So I caught Mort. Yeah, so we caught Mort.
Mort's at 42. I'm at 42. You're at what?
You're at 44.
Oh, you're still 2 up.
Yeah.
How are you 2 up after this? You were 3 up before.
You must be at 43 then.
No, I'm at 42. I'm on the ESPN page right here. It says I got 42.
Did you not change something?
I don't know.
You know what? All we got to do is go to our page. So last week, you were at 37. You got 6. You're at 43.
Oh, well, Espen has me at 42.
Because they probably haven't calculated tonight's game yet.
They probably have.
No,
because I was at 41, I promise. I swear to God, hope that I stick a needle in my
eye.
Well,
according to our charts, you're at 43. I'm at 44.
Maybe I missed one when we were traveling or something. Yes. Anyways, it was a bizarre weekend. I want to especially hate on the Bengals.
So I'm at 44, and I'm now above Mort?
You're 2 above Mort.
So even with...
There's no going... pros out. This is my point, Steven.
So wait a minute.
I was
so
mid-sentence.
Even with only 5 games.
I was mid-sentence, Steven. What I was saying was that I have a theory that if you're above 500 this week, you're horrible at picking games. You just had a really lucky week. Because the people that are really good at this had really crappy weeks.
Oh, God.
I'm not completely serious, but I am a little. So I want to especially throw some hate out to the Bengals for not being able to pull things off.
Oh, the Bengals.
The Green Bay Packers.
You got a 21-14 lead with a couple minutes on change on the clock, and you can't finish the game out.
I want to hate on the Packers for losing to the Redskins. You guys suck.
I want to hate
on the Panthers for being... Really, truly, now I think they're worse than Buffalo, and I want to hate on the Houston Texans, my own Houston Texans, Mr. Too Much, Way Too Much Love for Texas guy. I'm hating on you for rolling over for the Giants. You guys couldn't beat your mom if you had to.
Check this out, Jeffrey.
I want to hate
Houston
on the Saints.
Struggled on the road with Washington. They went to overtime to win.
I know.
Then at home. They get spanked by Dallas, who
I know
is quite
we're
frankly,
finding out isn't
not
a very good
team.
Team, right?
And then they got spanked by the Giants.
I know.
What's up with Houston?
I don't know. I think when their backs are against the wall, they're pretty good, and when their backs aren't, they're very much like Dallas. It's like, is someone going to die if I lose? Well, then I'm not going to win. That's all there is to it. And I want to hate on the San Diego Chargers and the Dallas Cowboys. And lastly, but not leastly, the San Francisco 49ers.
So what I'm hearing
here... Those are all the teams
I
lost.
Is your... Yeah, you're hating
on... Those are my
on,
picks that I missed on. I hate you all. Hate you,
you
all.
You are an absolute boob.
It's about my picks, baby.
Oh, God.
It's got to be about my picks.
I hate you. You did not let me win, so I hate you.
But out of all this, I am still...
I am the smartest man alive!
Which is how... I cannot.
Yeah, I'm very angry.
Being the smartest man alive. First of all, we'll break down how it happened, Steven.
Yeah.
But I don't know about you, but I cannot wear the smartest man with pride label well going under 500. That just doesn't sit well with me. How would it sit with you? How would you be fine with it?
Yeah.
You and my daughter, it's like it's about winning. It's not about anything else.
It's about winning.
No, it's about doing well.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're doing well in the challenge game. You're up 1.
Yeah, but this is not like
3-2.
This. Now tell the story of how it happened, which is way worse.
Well, we had originally Chicago, Carolina as the challenge game. I had the Bears. Jeff had the Panthers. I'm like, no way that's going to happen. Immediately after recording, like literally Jeff had just walked out the door. I get a text. I look up. I go and read the article. Jay Cutler's been announced. He's out of the game.
I haven't even made it home from Steven's house in my car.
I'm like Todd Collins. I'm going with Todd Collins for a freaking challenge game.
Well, he threw 4 picks. He just happened to win, okay?
he just happened to
be playing the Panthers.
So I'm like, Yeah, there's no, you know what? I better go. Well, what happened then? Now let me tell you what happens. Sunday morning, I'm doing all my fantasy football stuff. I'm putting all my stuff out for the right. buddies, right? And so I get information. Steve Smith for the Carolina Panthers.
Steve Smith.
And there's going to be a couple of defenders not playing. And then I'm like, oh man. And I'm like, and then Julius Peppers is coming back. I call Jeff. I got to go back to the Bears. It won't be the challenge game, but I got to go back to the Bears.
Couldn't have taken your call anyways. I was at church.
I see. Well, I could have texted you, and then you could have, you know. And so, but anyways, I'm up with Emma early on Sundays.
Yeah.
And Emma has a little emergency.
Uh-oh.
And so I'm now trying to get her all in shape, and I'm fixing
accidental
everything.
Accidental emergencies, like an accident?
No, well, yeah, but okay. not like a deathly accident or anything. Just
No, like a young person would have
yes,
an accident.
Yes. So I'm now cleaning all this stuff, and so everything else went out the window.
Yeah.
I make no calls. I make no changes, and there you are.
And there we have it. Now, mind you, this was my most distracted weekend of NFL life that I've ever been around. I mean, I would have an easier time following games if we were traveling, Stephen. We had Saturday night. Kara had her third qualifying. I didn't even know this really made me mad because she was so – you know why she was so thrilled that I was going?
Yeah.
Because she had already qualified for sectionals. I didn't know that. So I thought that this was a prelim for qualifying and that she hadn't qualified yet.
Yeah.
But she had already qualified. So this is just a dress rehearsal for gymnastics. She was out there supporting her team, and she happened to take first place in the prelims. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter at all.
She was already in.
She was already in for the next thing in a couple of weeks, the big who's going to state and who's not. And so she was already in, so I didn't need to be. But that was Saturday night when I usually go to church. So I went to church on Sunday morning and missed the beginning of all the games.
Yep.
And
yep.
I missed all my who's stardom, sit-em kind of injury report stuff that I obsess over. And then last night, I had to pick up the boy. Now, what was last night? What was last night's interruption during the game? Kara had something. Kara was being baptized.
Okay.
And so I had church last night. This never happens. And so I'm at church last night, missed the end of all the games, left you at Dave and Buster's with Matt and Jen.
Yep.
And busted across town, got there just in time. That service went over 2 hours.
Wow.
So I missed the beginning of Sunday night football.
Right.
And then I had to, after that, where I normally watch the replays, I had to pick up Jordan and all of his friends from Magic Mountain because that's where he went for his birthday. I need to travel more, Stephen. I'll see a lot more football if I travel more.
I need to travel more.
Serious?
Yeah, right.
My gosh. For a weekend at home, I'm exhausted. This was crazy.
Okay, I can't find their ESPN.
What you looking for, baby?
I'm looking for ESPN's.
Oh, just type in expert pickup, NFL expert pickup in the search box.
Expert pick.
It's unnecessarily hard to find, and I would bookmark it if I were you because it's too hard to find. But you got to go. There you go. And now NFL expert pick. Click on that.
There it is.
And there you go.
There's oh, my.
Yeah, look
oh
at
my.
This.
Wait a minute.
Schefter went 7-7.
4-5-7. So there were a lot of, no one did better than 7-7.
This is my point. If you did better than 7-7, I think you suck at this, okay?
Mort went 7-7.
And got him to what?
We haven't caught Mort
yet. Oh, they hadn't totaled him. What is he up to now?
He's at 48.
Oh, crud. So I'm six behind?
I'm chasing.
He went 7-7?
You're at 43.
Oh, unbelievable.
I am chasing.
I'm 5 back?
Yeah, you're chasing 5.
Oh, that's going to be hard.
No, it isn't. There's
it's a long season.
Weeks
it's
of
a
football
long
left.
Season.
But
let me
but
tell you,
he's the only one who's ahead of us.
I know that, but that's still agonizingly. What's AccuScore at? I'm always fascinated by computers.
AccuScore is at 43.
Ah.
He's tied with you.
AccuScore
tied with you.
So a computer could do as well as me. What does that mean? I don't know.
You know what? And the crazy thing is, he went 7-7, and he took the Bills.
I told you about that on the show because I said the Bills could win that game, and the Bills, actually, they couldn't win that game. But they started.
he took the Redskins over Green Bay.
Yeah.
That was balling.
One of his little upset picks there, and he took a couple of upset picks. And still managed to go 7-7, which is impressive for this last week. It's just disgusting how hard it was this week.
It was a pretty crazy week. Pretty crazy week, yes.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
So we should have picked them.
Yeah, well.
The Panthers are who Peter King thought they weren't.
Yeah.
He had to eat crow about that today in his column. How many weeks is he going to have to write about that?
Yeah.
Because he told us in the Coliseum, if you guys will all recall, when I was looking around at what team I was going to take, he told me to take a hard look at the Panthers because they were going to probably make the playoffs.
He said they were going to be
fun to watch. In his column today, he said that they would make the playoffs.
But he told us they would be a fun team to watch.
He said, I don't know if they'll make the playoffs. But apparently, he eventually loved on them so much
that he said they were going
to be but not to us.
He said they were going to be an interesting team to watch. And you know what?
They have been interesting.
Very interesting.
For all the wrong reasons. Oh, my gosh.
All right. You know, real quickly, Jeffrey, I just want to peruse the standings before we get to NFL news.
Well, I want to say this about our picks before we move on. Yeah. This is what Howard Cosell had to say about our picks.
I find it a rather tedious bore, Ed. Uh-huh. Hard to describe one's reaction. It's utterly absurd and a manifestation of inefficiency inconsistent with the kind of efficiency that you have brought to professional football.
Jack, do you concur in Mr. Cosell's statement?
Yes.
Yeah, I love the guy. Yes.
So in the let's take a look at the AFC East.
Oh, dude, I took a photo of all the helmets. I've got it here on my phone. Where's my phone?
Let's take a look at the AFC
East. You can,
East.
But I've got a visual because I'm a visual guy.
Jets 4-1, Patriots 3-1, Dolphins 2-2, and of course, bringing up the rear as we've come so accustomed, the Buffalo Bills at 0-5.
Do you know what, Steven, though? That's the only helmet that I didn't get a chance to move. I didn't take a picture. I just moved them all, and then I got my camera, and then I got distracted.
All right, the AFC North, we've got the Baltimore Ravens, which were one of my teams to be up there, 4-1. The Steelers at 3-1. Cincinnati at a very, very disappointing 2-3. And the Cleveland Browns at 1-4. The Bengals, they're in a must-win situation.
It's a three-alarm fire.
They lose one more game, and they could kiss the baby, as Chad Ochocinco would say.
In
the AFC South, we've got a four-way tie.
Yeah, we have four teams at 3-2.
Jacksonville, Indianapolis, Tennessee, all at 3-2 in that division.
How bizarre is that?
That's going to be fun to watch as the season progresses. And then in the AFC West, Jeffrey, amazingly enough, the Kansas City Chiefs still remain up top at 3-1 after losing. But the Oakland Raiders, San Diego Chargers, and Denver Broncos are all bringing up the rear at 2-3.
2-3?
Yes, 2-3. Yeah. All right, in the NFC in the East, you've got the Redskins, the Giants, and the Eagles all winning, moving to 3-2. And the worst team in the division, the Dallas Cowboys at 1-3. In the NFC North, the Chicago Bears, 4-1.
The Bears!
The Bears!
With a comfortable lead over the Green Bay Packers, who find themselves at 3-2.
That's one game.
Then bringing up the rear, the Minnesota Vikings at 1-3, and the Detroit
Lions. What about this week?
No, they're still 1-4. Jeffrey, by the way, the Chicago Bears have a 2-game lead. They already beat the Green Bay Packers.
Okay, so hold a tie break.
That is a two. Well, in essence, it's a two.
That's
game
a
lead.
Two-game lead.
In the NFC South, we have the Atlanta Falcons leading the division at 4-1. Here's the next team, though. It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 3-1.
What?
Then you've got the New Orleans Saints at 3-2.
What?
And bringing up the rear, yet to win a game, the Carolina winless Panthers, because nothing would be finer
than to
actually,
be in,
everything
anything
would
be finer
than
to be in Carolina for a Panthers football
game.
Loss.
They're 0-5. And NFC West, the Cardinals, after stunning the New Orleans Saints,
Max Hall,
find themselves
congratulations.
At 3-2 leading the division. Seattle, because they had a bye, sit at 2-2. The Rams are at 2-3, and three games back of Arizona.
Oh, golly.
San Francisco 49ers at 0-5. I think before we get to the news, we talked to Matt about those 0-5 San Francisco 49ers.
Should we get Mr. Mayoko on the phone?
Let's get Mayoko on.
All right. Joining us right now on the telephone is Matt Mayoko, Comcast Sport Bay Area guy and insider for the San Francisco 49ers. Good evening, Matt.
Good evening.
Hey, Matt. So are we going to call Matt like NFL BMOC Bay Area?
I think so. Why not? He works for Comcast Sports. He's on TV even.
There you go. So NFL BMOC Bay Area.
Yeah.
I could be a Cable Town guy.
Cable guy. Matt the Cable Guy. I like that
the
one.
Cable Guy.
Mayoko the Cable Guy. He's the guy on your roof right now.
There you go.
Don't call the authorities, please.
So, Matt, first of all, real quickly, do you primarily cover just the San Francisco 49ers, or do you cover the Oakland Raiders as well?
Yeah, Sunday I can guarantee you I will be at the Raiders game, only because the 49ers will be playing the Raiders. But no, I'm 49ers 24/7.
49ers 24/7.
In fact, as you alluded to, as soon as you're done with us, and it is late after Monday Night Football, you're going to be breaking down game film and marking down all 53 players' performances. Is that correct?
That is right, and it'll be very easy to take care of Troy Smith,
the
inactive third quarterback.
Yeah, there you go.
And it'll be just slightly more difficult to run down David Carr's appearance, since he did step onto the field only to be yanked off the field within a matter of seconds.
Well, you know, right, well, that and that brings us to our first question, of course. So, you know, it was quite obvious to anybody paying attention. We were watching at Dave and Buster's down here in Southern California, where they had all three afternoon games on the television. And it was quite, you didn't need a soundtrack.
Yeah, this was the night game. This was the night game.
My bad. But you didn't need a soundtrack to tell you what was going on. I mean, it was so clear from Singletary, but the sound from the fans. Because we know the press box at Candlestick is not enclosed like so many of the newer ones are.
Could
so what was that like to hear?
We want Carr chant?
Well, it was actually the sound, the acoustics in the press box aren't good. You really can't hear what the crowd is doing, because you're sort of encased in glass there. But this was the loudest, angriest crowd that I have ever heard at Candlestick Park.
Wow.
And, they were chanting for David Carr. It's almost, the crowd at Candlestick, I think, since Alex Smith was chosen with the number one pick in that 2005 draft, I think that crowd has been very kind to Alex, and I think it's been very supportive. But, man, something just snapped last night. And I don't know if it was a full day of lubing up in the parking lot, tailgate parties or what, but there were not very many happy people during the early portion of the fourth quarter when that whole fiasco was taking place on the field.
Well, I actually think that it was that, he kind of got a little freaked in the pocket, and when he rolled out into the fumble that was returned for a touchdown, I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back.
But I have a theory here, Steven. I think that it's the Philadelphia rubbing off on the San Francisco, since it was the Eagles fans that were there. It was all the McNabb hatred that kind of got mischanneled into Alex Smith hatred, and they were booing as if they were in Philadelphia and it was Donovan McNabb. That's just my theory.
Yeah, I think the fans at Candlestick would have preferred to have Donovan McNabb throwing passes for the team wearing red yesterday. Yeah. I mean, that was certainly one of the constant themes of the offseason. You know, why aren't the 49ers going after Donovan McNabb? And the answer was, probably A, the team didn't want to pay the kind of money it would take to sign Donovan McNabb to a long-term deal, or give up the draft pick that it would take to acquire him from the Eagles. But also, the thing I heard around the 49ers and when you were out there this summer, there was a lot of confidence in Alex Smith. I mean, people saw behind the scenes, the work he was doing, that he was making improvements in his game. This was his second year in the same system, first time he'd been afforded that luxury in his career. So there was a feeling that Alex Smith was ready to turn the corner. And certainly last night that did not happen.
Well,
until he put together two pretty nice drives there in the fourth quarter.
Exactly. And I want you to break down what happened between he and Singletary on the sideline. But I also want to know if you think this could potentially be a Vernon Davis moment, where Vernon Davis was benched by Singletary for that game, and then he came back as really a changed guy over the course of time. And here he was supposed to be pulled out of the game. Carr was supposed to be put in. Apparently, you reported today, which is why I got on the phone with you, because I was reading your Twitter stuff, that apparently Vernon Davis got in his face, Alex Smith, and told him that you will not come out of this game if you're a real leader. So tell me about that. What
went
on?
Yeah, well, one of the things Vernon said was that Mike Singletary really challenged Alex, called him out on the sideline, said that, any quarterback worth a darn isn't going to allow himself to get benched. But that was after Singletary had already told David Carr, start warming up, you're going into the game. And according to Vernon, Vernon then went up to Alex and said, you know, here's your helmet. You're going back into the game. You're going to go to the coach, and you're going to tell him you're staying in the game. And it's just a weird scene. And afterward, Alex Smith called it sort of a blur. You know, like, I really don't even remember what happened. It was just sort of a blur.
That's too bad.
He went back into the game and played pretty well.
I mean, other than,
you know, the final interception was a play where there was pressure. He was hit as throwing. The ball flutters up there into the wind, and it's intercepted. But one of the things Alex Smith said today, too, was that he realizes that sometimes he plays too cautiously, and he needs to just sort of cut it loose and go play and not think too much. It seems, you know, sixth year in the league, it's a lot easier said than done. So, you know, if you wonder if that's going to be the turning point of his career, boy, I don't know. I mean, it just seems to me, if you're in your sixth year and you have to remind yourself to cut it loose and you shouldn't be playing so cautiously, that maybe that ship has sailed and, you know, you are what you are.
Well, I agree with you. That final interception was more a cause
of
him getting
hit. Yeah, he had
hit
to, and he had to make a play.
And the pressure causing the ball to just kind of go off on its own. But his stat line, if you just look at the stat line, 25 of 39, 309 yards, 3 TDs and 2 picks, one of those, you know, that final pick coming late. It looks like a pretty impressive stat line, except for the turnovers.
Unless you watch the game.
And then you have the fumble, obviously, that was picked up for. So where do we go from now? Where, obviously, Singletary had a little, you know, shouting to give Alex Smith on the sideline there. They got a bye week this week, right? Is that correct?
No, they play, well, I guess some
no,
people
Oakland
consider
is
that
not
they
a
do
bye,
play the Raiders.
That's can't right. help get that Raiders job in. We're happy to tee that
yes,
up for you.
Yeah, you know what? And the Raiders are saying, hey, we have the bye week. We play the 49ers.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. They travel. So I was doing some research. Over the past three international series games that are played in London, the home team was the Dolphins. They went into that game 0-7. The second year, the Saints were the home team. They went into that game 3-4. And then last year, the Bucs were the home team. They went into that game 0-8. Now, here come the Niners. Are we really going to send the Niners at a possibly 0-7 to London? Do you think that can happen?
It certainly can happen. I don't know.
Because, Matt, we have to sell this game on TV.
They would win one of these two games. They go to Carolina, which is winless Carolina, right? They go to there.
They got to win that game.
Yeah, they go there to Charlotte on the 23rd. I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, if this time anything's possible. I mean, certainly the way the 49ers have played, they've shown an incredible knack for just doing the absolute worst thing at the wrong time. So, I mean, anything's possible, but I would suspect that they would win one of these next two games.
You know what? That was the best thing you wrote in your column today, and you put it better in your writing. I don't remember exactly how you put it, but it was they showed an incredible aptitude for doing the wrong thing at the most wrong time or something. You wrote it really, really well.
Well, and that leads me to my final point. My final question to you is, Singletary said in the press conference after the loss to the Eagles, that the best team they've played has been San Francisco. Obviously, they don't play themselves. But what he was trying to say is we've been losing to ourselves. We have caused the turnovers and the penalties that have shot ourselves in the foot, and that's why we've lost some of these games. Do you agree with that? Is it mostly San Francisco not being able to get out of their own way?
Well, you know, I think you can say that with about any team. You know, the team that's the worst team usually makes the most mistakes. You know, so, yeah, I mean, if they were to play perfect football, well, yeah, I mean, they would probably be 4-1 or 5-0. But bad teams are bad because they make mistakes. I mean, it's sort of the chicken or the egg thing. So, you know, I think every team in the league, with rare exceptions, can look back at a game film and go, boy, if we had just caught that ball right there, or if that guy had just made that block, that guy would have scored a touchdown. If we would have just not fallen for that slant and go and stayed with the guy and batted it down instead of allowing the touchdown. So, you know, I think you can look back on everything. And so I think it's just a fancy way of the 49ers. I think they're getting more inventive with their excuses and reasoning for losing than they are with their offensive play calling, and that's a mistake, and that's a problem when that happens.
Okay. Hey, Matt, we got to cut it off here because I know you've got a huge column to get into and things, and we got kids, and you got kids, and it's getting really late. But lastly, I want to – two things. If people want to follow you, is the best way – I know you're on Twitter. And,
yes, Twitter at Maiocco, M-A-I-O-C-C-O-C-S-N.
Okay, and then there's also csnbayarea.com where you've got your blog, right?
Absolutely, yeah. All my writing is put on there, including my all-53-man report, which will be going up some point Tuesday morning.
But lastly, I just want you to comment on the Jed York thing. You actually got Jed on the phone today, the president of the 49ers, and he didn't back down from his comments at all. Tell us about that.
No, he didn't. He said that Adam Schefter at ESPN had messaged him at some point, apparently this morning, asking him, are you going to fire your head coach? And he responded, we're going to win the division. I had a talk with Jed York over the phone today. We talked about a lot of different subjects, but the basic point was he's not admitting defeat, that it's a disappointment. He says he's responsible for this, starting with him and trickling down through the entire organization. But he's not giving up hope on the 2010 season, saying that, you know, with the NFC West, he didn't say this, but we can read into it, that with the NFC West, an 0-5 start doesn't necessarily mean you have no chance of making it into the playoffs. So we shall see. They've talked a lot, and they haven't backed it up on the field. So we'll see here if the 49ers can back up the team president's words.
So Mike Singletary, not on El Asiento Caliente, which is the hot seat, Spanish for the hot seat, we call it here. He is not on the hot seat.
Oh, well, Jed York says he's not, but you can bet that an embarrassing loss to the Raiders and that seat goes up a few degrees that he's sitting on. So,
you can't fire him before London because there's too much video in the vault already at Sky Sports that they've recorded with Singletary that they would have to go and dump. So you need to let them know there that they have to hang on to him at least through the international series, okay?
Well, the problem with all that video from the preseason trip is all the people there will be thinking the 49ers are a contender, and that's not exactly the way they're probably going to be in London when they get there, in the hunt in the NFC.
Well, in the NFC, anything's possible, so we'll see what happens by that point. Matt, thanks so much for joining us, the cable guy.
Or NFL BMOC Bay Area.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Either way, we'd love to have you back whenever you've got free time, buddy.
And we
got to
buy you a pint when you're over there.
Very good, yes.
So as Matt alluded to in the interview, it was nice. We had a chance to meet at 49ers camp, and there's two Matts that I really liked, Matt Barnes of Sacramento Bee and Matt Maiocco of Comcast Sports.
So did you not meet Matts. Burrows?
That's not Burrows, Barnes. I get his name wrong all the time, which is why I generally lean towards Maiocco, because it is Burrows.
Because, it's Maiocco, Burrows. Okay.
Burrows is Trey cool, yes. Really great. Maiocco, though, we just kind of clicked, and it's worked out really great.
Clicky, click, clicky, click. Well, he's a nice guy. I love, what I'm learning from a lot of these beat writers now that we're hanging
exposed
out
to them
and meeting and talking to and stuff, you got to tread a line there when you're covering specifically just one team. We're kind of fortunate. We get to cover all 32,
right.
And, there's not one particular team that we cover on a regular basis. We cover them all. But I think if you cover just one team, you need the team to give you information.
Called your employer,
just
more
like
or less.
They need you. The team's not your employer.
But they might as well be, because if they didn't exist, you wouldn't have a job. You would be covering something else or somebody else.
Okay,
but
your
he's
employer
an exclusive beat writer.
You have a job.
Comcast SportsNet Bay Area is his employer.
There you go. So you've got a job that you got to do for them. And you need the team to give you information, so you kind of don't want to piss off the team.
Absolutely
not. You obviously got to build a good relationship with the PR department, but you also, sometimes you just got to say the team is bad.
Yeah,
this is, you got to come. You got to walk in to the office every once in a while, and you just got to say,
it was bad. It had nothing, no fire, no energy, no nothing.
But do it in a way where...
Less than that?
Yes. You can't.
So you got to soft sell that just a little?
You can't come like Chris Tucker.
We're bad. We got nothing. We're no fire, no energy, no nothing.
Yes, you can't do that.
We're bad. We're not very good. You know what? We're winningly challenged.
We're winningly challenged. Oh, man. So good stuff there for Matt. Let's have him on more often.
When there's Niner stuff, he's always right there on the cell phone.
And in a couple of days, when we do our preview of Week 6 NFL BMOC West Coast, Sam Farmer will be joining us to kind of see where the season sits at the quarterway.
I actually am getting to the point where we're traveling enough that I miss Sammy. It's been like 2 weeks since we've seen him.
That's right.
And that feels like a long time.
It is a long time.
It feels like
a
long time
since we've seen Sammy. So... let's get to some NFL news.
Okay, we seem to have dialed in the volume on the hit bang a little better.
Yeah.
You like how I enunciated that to
death?
Thank
you.
You're welcome.
Well, let's start with the game we just watched.
Brett Favre and Favre.
If you guys...
Let's start with the good news.
Well,
the good news, then the bad news.
The good news
from the game where he got his 500th touchdown.
And then he threw 501 and 502. So.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And then he threw another one
but
of his pick record.
This happened prior to the game.
Yeah, and this isn't his good news.
So a report was reported by Deadspin.com basically saying that Brett Favre, while he was a member of the New York Jets, which, first of all, I find this really weird.
It is.
That it's 2008 when he was with the Jets, because he's played a full season with Minnesota. Now here's the second season is with Minnesota. That they wait till the week prior to Brett going back to New York to play the Jets to say, oh, we got this report that Brett sent some texts that were inappropriate to a sideline reporter. Her name was Sturger is her last name, right, Jeff?
Something like that.
Jen Sturger, I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's accurate. That's accurate. So go ahead.
And he sent some he texted her some kind of romantic texts, and then he texted her
and provocative
some
photos
of some stuff.
Right.
I'll let you use your imagination.
Just some junk.
Fill in the stuff.
Some junk,
the junk
probably
and the stuff. So that's what the report says. Brett Favre, so the Minnesota Vikings traded for Randy Moss. They have a press conference this week, early in the week, and they talk to Chili via press conference. Then they talk to Randy Moss, like, I'm great to be back. I'm happy to be back. And he looked pretty good to be back today. And then Brett Favre comes up, and the first question that is asked of Brett is about this story. And Brett's like, you know, the only thing I'm worried about right now is the Jets and you know, getting my timing down with my guys. That's all I'm going to comment on. So now this story, now the league, you know, obviously we were there week one with the INS signs and a reporter from TV Azteca and the NFL being sensitive to, obviously, any sexual harassment charges that might come to teams or players from female reporters. They feel that they now need to investigate this. And so they're investigating it. Brett's already said he'll talk to the league, whatever, you know, and Sturger said that she will cooperate with the league.
Well, she's changed her story, though.
She's not going to cooperate with the league now?
She didn't say she wasn't going to cooperate with the league, but she did say she was going to do what was in her own best interest.
Well, it is, and probably...
No, what is in her own best interest is to sell this story. That is what is in her best interest. Oh, dude. Dude, what is it? She went from, I'm going to cooperate fully to the league, to I'm going to do what's in my best interest.
I see.
Which could either be one of two things, and they both equal the cha-ching.
Yeah.
I will take money from the Favre camp, or I will sell my story.
Right.
Whatever is the highest bidder is going to win, and because I have a commodity right now. I have a commodity, which is everybody wants my story. And why would I give it to the league for free when I'm not obliged to give it to the league for free?
My problem
is
with the story of the timing.
Agreed. The timing, look, all...
If she had a legitimate...
She didn't bring
concern.
This up.
Well...
These images, how did Deadspin end up with the stories?
End up with the images and the text?
Got me.
How did they get them? If it's your personal cell phone, what do you mean? So someone from Deadspin was like, Hey, Sturgeon, how you doing? Can I borrow your phone? Ooh, look.
First of all, we already know that people are cloning phones. This is a big story in the UK right now, is people cloning phones and getting personal information off
of
phones.
So now we're convicting Deadspin.com people.
No,
that
I'm
they're cloning phones.
It is their job.
She
released the stuff.
Don't tell me she had nothing to do with releasing the stuff. Do you give your cell phone stuff to just random people so that they could see what text you get and stuff?
You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that to get somebody's voicemails and things like that.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying is now you're condemning Deadspin.com.
I'm saying that Deadspin is in the business of dredging stuff up.
Okay.
Okay? They're in the business of finding stories and breaking stories.
But you just say, you know what? There's a reporter for the Jets. I'm just going to go see if I can get her phone records and all of her phone information. Because I bet there's a story right there with that chick.
This is evidence she told us. I'm reading on Deadspin.com right now. This is evidence she told us about last February. Sadly, Jen is still reluctant to talk on the record about the matter. Everything shown in the video above was acquired from a third party. So that's what it says. Okay. So she did talk to them at one point.
She did tell somebody something.
Yeah, and then all the evidence and the photos and things like that came out at that point.
Yeah, well, because then, you know.
And she is, by the way, completely hot. And I'm saying that as an unbiased journalist.
Okay.
But she is completely hot.
I don't even know who she is. I've never seen any pictures.
Well, now you have.
No, I haven't. But that's okay. Let's move on. I just think that today, before the game, he tells the Vikings he's sorry for the reports of him being a distraction.
Speaking of distraction.
Okay. She's actually, okay. Anyway.
Try to be distracted.
He actually felt he felt some emotion. There were some people who said he cried.
He did cry. They got pictures of him.
You know what? What people do behind closed doors is their business. Unless they're killing somebody, or they're hurting somebody,
right?
Or they're killing themselves, or they're doing something illegal. Look, I understand. Look. I am not here to be a moral person. That's not my job.
You're not here to be a moral person?
Judging the moral character
of others. Okay.
I've got my morals. That's my morality, and I'm fine with that, and I pass that on to my family and to my children. And hopefully everybody around me, we live by the same sort of morals.
Same set of values.
Yes. It's not my job to go and, as I'm covering these sports players, to tell them, you got to have these values, or I'm not going to cover you. That's not my job.
Right.
They're brought up however they're brought up. So if they do something that's immoral, that's their business. They're going to have to deal with it in their way, in their time. But I don't want to know what people do behind closed doors. That does not interest me in the least.
And it's only news when it is a danger to yourself or to somebody else, and it creeps outside of those walls.
And so this story of, you know, now they're taking it in, and what I think is, it happens all the time. And even Peter King even wrote it today in his article. He said, look, infidelity in the sports world
has been going on as long as there's been athletes.
Exactly. So
Roman times, we suspect. We don't have the papers and the internet.
It's been happening forever. So for all of a sudden to get a report now, and obviously now with technology and how quickly things get out on the internet and things get spread out, I didn't need to see that.
I didn't
need
those. That was apparently that is one of the photos.
So I don't understand. And that they actually would put those photos up.
I know. It makes me sick. I'm actually going.
The story
I probably won't be on the site ever again.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
That's because that's how Steven and I, you know, I refer everybody back to Don Henley's first solo album when he left, when the band, the Eagles, broke up, and the song Dirty Laundry. You got your bubble-headed bleach blonde comes on at 5. She can tell you about the plane crash with a gleam in her eye. It's interesting when people die. Give us dirty laundry. That is the kind of, it's yellow journalism, and it's disgusting, and it's vile, and look, America eats it up, especially the major media markets, New York, London, L.A. The tabloids in New York are just full of this stuff. When we were there, the Inez Saints girl was on the front page of the Post every single day.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's disgusting. And it's like, come on. If we don't buy it, people, if we don't buy this junk, people hate it when we preach. But such is life. It's our show. And we don't have a sponsor, so we get to say whatever we want. If people don't buy this junk, then guess what? It doesn't get published.
Yeah, but people do buy it.
There you go.
And that's the problem. But the thing is, just, you know what? He's going to have to deal with it his own way. I don't want to know, but I personally don't care.
I want to watch him play football. I want to know about his elbow.
Is it affecting football? Is it affecting the team? Is he harming anyone? Okay, then, you know.
What consensual adults do, consensual adults do. And so there you go.
And if it's true, I'm sorry for Deanna. And if it's not true, I'm sorry for that Sturger girl.
Seriously. I mean, unless, who knows? Who knows what the story is? Yeah. And frankly, we'd just soon not know.
All right. So how about the Seattle Seahawks shipping Deion Branch now, back to New England?
I want
to
respin this.
No. Hold on one second. Okay. I got let me
finish. You got a spin of your own? Do you want to spin together?
So they send him back to the Patriots for a fourth round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is me. I'm the general manager of the Seattle Seahawks, and I get a call from Bill Belichick. Say, you know, you got...
Probably from the GM of the Patriots.
Well, yeah, but it was probably Belichick who said, get us Deion Branch back.
Absolutely.
And he's like, we're really interested in Deion Branch. Is he available? Sure he's available. Not doing much for me. Well, maybe he could do something for you. What you got for me? We got a fourth round pick to give you for... you got a couple firsts. You got a couple seconds, and you got a couple thirds next round. I think you could do a little bit better than a fourth.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're only going to give a fourth. All right, see you later. Click. That's how my conversation would have been.
Yeah.
But you know what? For whatever reason, Seattle was like, you can go ahead and have him for a fourth rounder.
Okay, here's my spin on this, okay? Bill Belichick goes on NFL Network with a nice sit-down with whom this weekend? To talk about letting go Randy Moss.
I think it was Michael Lombardi.
I believe it was. Very good. Very, very good, Steven. Nice poll. Michael Lombardi had a nice sit-down with Bill Belichick where they talked about the Randy Moss situation. And he specifically said that it is because we are gearing our offense in a different direction.
Yeah.
Was why Randy Moss became expendable. And so we're going to be basically collecting draft picks as our little reward for revamping our offense in a different direction that does not generally include the vertical threat.
Yeah.
We are turning much more into a run first oriented team. And me reading between the lines actually wanted to believe Belichick. And so I say, are you really this scared of your defense? I said this to Steven. Are you this scared of your defense that you would?
You did.
Wow. Okay, so take that, and now this, and what you end up with is, I lied. We didn't want Randy Moss. We needed him out of Dodge, and so much so that we had to go replace him.
Don't believe him.
Look, I always give people the benefit of the doubt.
And they actually tried to negotiate with San Diego for Vincent Jackson.
Yeah, the problem is when you finally work out that deal with A.J. Smith, which you can't work out unless you give up your firstborn child,
right. Then
he's still got to serve a 4-game suspension.
Yeah.
So it's like, what is the point? By that point, your season's already done one way or the other.
Well, I'll tell you what, this week, I got Baltimore over the Patriots.
Oh, big time Baltimore over the Patriots. But you know what, Steven?
What?
The Patriots are going to win. Do you know why?
Why?
Because Baltimore's a better team. And that's how picks are going, baby.
I got the Patriots over Baltimore.
That's how picks are going, baby. If you think you know something... You don't know.
So Deion Branch back with the team where he won the Super Bowl MVP with the Patriots a few years back.
Who says he can't go home again?
Well,
everybody's doing it. That's
Moss
what I'm saying.
Going to Minnesota. Branch is going to New England. I won't go back to Dallas. As a matter of fact, Jeffrey.
You really don't know. You really don't know.
I'm going back to Dallas.
You think you know, but you don't know.
Yeah, I've just decided. Let me get the wife in real quick.
And you never will.
Honey? Honey, you awake out there?
She probably wasn't. Come in. But she probably is now. Oh, sure. She begs to be on the show for a legitimate reason.
Exactly.
Because she's knocking him out of the park with picks. And now you bring her into the show and wake her up. Because we're waking kids with the door open.
We're going to wake the kids.
If we haven't woken them by now.
So, honey, Jeff and I were talking right now, and Deion Branch got traded back to the New England Patriots.
Randy Moss is back in Minnesota.
So it's good to go home right now, and I'm thinking I'm moving back to Dallas, baby. You in?
Okay.
We are moving back to Dallas, honey.
Really? Why?
Because everybody's going home. Deion Branch going back to the Patriots.
See,
Randy Moss going back to... It's late. You should see. She's still got sleep in her eyes.
She wants to be on this show because she's doing really good with her picks. And now
you don't want to talk to me about my picks and how I'm kicking your butt. That's all I'm just saying.
Is all.
How you're kicking my butt, honey.
I'm just saying 3 weeks in a row. That's all I'm saying.
Is all.
You didn't beat me last week, sweetie.
I thought I did.
No.
Look, she just woke up. You just woke her up. Leave my sister alone.
2 weeks ago, you beat me. This
week,
you beat me.
2 weeks ago, I kicked your butt.
You didn't kick my butt. You beat me by three.
That's a lot.
And this week?
You beat me by two.
Okay.
That's a lot.
And it should have been three, but I let the group.
But let's talk about the one in the middle.
Let's talk about the one in the middle. Let's talk about the one that worked out for me.
I beat you. It's Foggy. The one I beat her by six, it's Foggy.
Ooh, six? That's really bad.
Yes, it was.
That's really bad.
No, so the one that I beat her in, that one's Foggy. I don't remember that one.
She just woke up. Are we supposed to remember the good things?
Honey, we're moving back to Texas.
The Texas.
Why?
Because I got to go home. I miss home. I miss being in Dallas. I miss being at every Cowboy game at the stadium. Let's move back to
Texas. And don't forget this.
Today we salute you, Mr. Way Too Proud of Texas Guy.
The guy's got a point. Way Too Proud of Texas Guy.
Men from lesser states may know their state's
so
capital.
So you're saying I'm moving back to Texas by myself?
We got to chat.
Yeah, you guys have a mortgage now.
Right,
we're gonna be upside down on. Who knows? Because you're in California.
We're not upside down on our mortgage, by
barely.
The way.
Then, and you got kids in school, and you got kids playing baseball.
What do you think? There's
little
no
teams.
There's no baseball teams in Texas.
Oh, there's great
there's
baseball
no, there's
teams.
There's no schools.
It's 120 freaking degrees, or it's cold.
Oh gosh, yeah. She wasn't on board with the whole movie.
She wasn't
back
on board
to Texas.
With you waking her up. I think that's just me. Is all.
It is just you, by the way.
Other states are wussier.
We don't need to talk about the whole Belichick saying the whole Brady Moss thing. But
it's just obvious to me that, look, this is not how he represented it to Michael Lombardi on their little Sunday sit-down.
Right. In other news in the NFL, and this is some bad news for the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers suffered a concussion this past week against the Washington Redskins. And it could sideline him this week against the Dolphins. I'll go on record right now and tell you that
I'll
if he's not
Dolphins,
playing in that game, I'm taking Miami.
Yeah, but we will know by the weekend.
Can you tell me who the replacement will be if he's not
absolutely.
Available?
If Green Bay's not playing Matt Flynn?
Yes,
does
Flynn.
He come in? How I go
Matt
too deep
Flynn
everywhere,
Stone.
Man. Meet the Flintstone.
The
from the town of Bedrock. They're a page right out of his story. Let's ride with the family down the street. You don't know any of the words.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Through the courtesy of your TV.
Of your two feet, not your TV.
Of your what?
Your 2 feet. Through the courtesy of your 2 feet, because they...
When I was a kid, it was always TV.
Through
Why not?
Through the courtesy of your TV.
Look, I know more of the words than you, so shut up, okay?
I know the words. I just... You needed to jog them into me. They need to come out. Remember, you know how my brain works.
Get your chance, smart guy.
Thank you, smart guy. I need to engage, and then I got to go into the recesses and pull that information back
recesses?
Out.
Recesses?
I could go for a recess right now. Anyway, so that's hard news. And, Jeffrey, the Green Bay Packers, JerMichael Finley, the tight end, he's out for 2 to 3 weeks.
He got whacked.
And then
he was carted off the field. It was a
Nick
mess.
Nick Barnett might be out for the season. They are. Seriously, the injury bugs has taken over a couple teams, and the Green Bay Packers are starting to be one of them. It's starting
Clay Matthews
Philly.
Left with a hamstring strain.
Yep.
I mean, seriously, it could not have been worse for Green Bay what went on this weekend.
So Finley is having a surgery. It's not going to end his season, but he's going to miss several weeks. So Green Bay fans, not some good news there. And trust me, Matt Flynn is starting next week. You ain't winning the game.
It's a long day living in Reseda. There's
Speaking
a freeway
of
running through
hurt
the yard.
Quarterbacks, the Cleveland Browns, Seneca Wallace goes down with an ankle injury. DeLome gets hurt again. And you know who
he
might
was out
be,
there for like two plays.
You know who might be playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Ladies and gentlemen,
when
the National
Ben
Football
Roethlisberger
League
comes back for the Steelers. Colt McCoy.
Colt McCoy, baby. Hee-haw.
Yes, the Cleveland Hee-haw. Plain Dealer, citing sources, reports that DeLome has now both a high and low ankle sprain, and Wallace has a high ankle sprain. And
you put them together, and you have a man with no legs.
Yes.
The thing I'm most looking forward to about my first trip to Cleveland,
yes,
is picking up my own copy of The Plain Dealer from because I've been reading about this paper forever. There's the New Orleans Times Picayune.
Picayune.
And there's the Cleveland Plain Dealer. And they both are such strange name papers that I want to just go to a newsstand, put a quarter in, and buy it.
Usually, every city has a Times.
They're major paper.
There's a Times.
The Dallas Morning News is the big one in Big D. Yes. And so it's not always the Times.
But for the most part.
No, you've got the
Los Angeles
Minneapolis
Times, New York Times, Chicago Times.
Chicago Sun Times.
Oh, it's Times, though.
But it's the Sun
They're
Times.
All Times. It's all Times.
All
Everywhere
the time.
You go, the Times.
Yeah, but those aren't necessarily
El
the best selling.
Paso Times.
Well, but that's one of your major media outlets, let me tell you.
It is.
It's printed bilingual. If you turn it upside down, it's in Spanish. And if you put it front ways, it's
you
in English.
Are an ass
I'm a bigot, Stephen. Sorry, didn't mean to play that card, the
Ouch,
race card, on
was,
myself.
That was harsh. Anyways.
yes, that was an email that I got.
Let it go. And the Tom Cable, the head coach there for the Oakland Raiders, basically throwing a shot across the bow at Jason Campbell, coming out and saying, Bruce Gradkowski is our quarterback if he's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
That's just basically telling Campbell, look, dude, you're not my guy.
Yeah, we did a lot to get you here, and we were so psyched to get you. And
now I know
we
Amy
don't.
Trask loves you. She loved you more than Donovan McNabb. But Bruce Gradkowski, he's our guy.
Look, the fact is the guys are playing hard for Cable. We can't make too much fun of them because, as Mayoko pointed to, depending on which side of the bay you're on, it's a bye week is the big joke in San Francisco this week.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're on the East Bay, we got a bye week. We got to play the Niners. If you're on the other side of the Bay, the West Bay, we got a bye week. We got to play the Raiders. It's a big joke.
Well, I tell you what, I'm taking the San Francisco 49ers over Oakland.
Oh, heck yeah. But here's the deal, Stephen, which means Oakland's going to win. But the quote I like from Peter King's column this morning was, so basically if you took the Carolina Panthers and the Buffalo Bills and you had them play each other, it'd be a 0-0 tie.
Yeah. I think the quote was...
Oh, that was from originally Dungy on Football Night America.
He stole it from Dungy.
Yes, he did cite Dungy. He doesn't steal from people.
No, okay, he did cite Dungy.
Yes, he did.
And he said that, yes, it would...
But I miss most of Football Night in America because I was with my daughter. Yeah, I really wanted to see that. Man. Only it sounds a lot better than that. Okay, now we're going to go musically speaking here for a minute.
Oh,
and it's time for Jeff to be let off the hook.
Bring back Bon Jovi. Please.
Look, you brought it up and you had people email me.
I don't care. You were in Europe.
I was out of the country
for 4 months. For the entire next 2 years, it was played constantly.
Look.
Constantly. Even Ed said the cheerleaders played it every freaking time they got a chance.
That's because Ed's a younger man.
So it doesn't matter. I had 21-year-olds sending me emails saying, what is Jeff? I'm 21. I have that album. I play that song all the time.
First of all, I would never... But Ed was right about this. I was never a hairband guy.
Yes, you never were a hairband guy.
The closest thing
Jeffrey,
I got was...
You listen to the radio, and I know you listen to radio stations.
I listen to album-oriented
rock. And you went
rock.
To dances, and you went to parties, and they played that song everywhere. So for you to just say, I've never, ever, never in my wildest mind... Because of your mind, I give you the chance. Yeah, you probably don't remember that you've heard it.
Thank you.
But trust me,
I'm not denying that I've never been around while it's been on the radio. I'm saying I'm not familiar with it.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. And I had really good reason.
No, you were adamant that you had
never
heard it ever.
I've never heard it is the same as I'm not familiar in my vernacular, Stephen. If it's not in yours, then I will do my best to change. Okay? But my vernacular, when I say I've never heard it, it just simply means I'm not familiar with it. It's not a deposition that I'm sitting down for. We're just talking. Okay?
Yeah.
I didn't know that there was some legal inquisition. No one expects a Spanish Inquisition. No one does.
Yeah, don't have to take it there. I'm just saying, trust me.
That was
that
Monty
song
Python humor,
was
Steven.
All
the, it was Monty Python humor.
It was everywhere. So
okay, but as was so interesting that Ed geeked out on this thing that he looked up the Billboard Top 100 and he pinpointed this window from August 14th to like December 14th. It was number 10 on the charts in 1986, and I wouldn't have even thought about it if he hadn't dialed in that window. And I went, wait a minute. I wasn't even in this country for those months.
Okay.
I was traveling all over
the whole next year you were in the country.
Absolutely. It was my senior year in college when I came back, and I was falling madly in love with my wife.
I'll ask you this question.
Getting married.
I'll ask you this question.
And Dee Dee doesn't like to dance.
Did you know Bon Jovi, the band?
Barely. Okay. They weren't on my radar, so I really was not familiar with them.
But you had heard of Bon Jovi.
Sure. John Bon Jovi I had heard of because he's supposed to be quite a talent. And that's all I knew.
Okay.
But their music never appealed to me in really in any way.
You know what? You know what? Get Bender on the phone. Bender will tell
me. Oh, Bender
goes
deep. He and Ed should have a showdown. That would freak me out because Bender goes country music. He does the whole specter. He does rap, hip hop. He doesn't care if it's music. He loves it.
Trisha laughed because she heard the show and she was like, she's like, I can't believe you actually said they used to play it on country stations. I'm like, it's true. They played it everywhere. It didn't matter what station it was.
I don't know. And I
R&B stations played it.
I generally don't listen to the radio, though. I listen to my own music.
Okay.
So I find new music via the radio, but it's usually alternative radio.
All right. There's hardly
really into Red Jumpsuit Apparatus, by the way. Want to give them a shout out
other
on the show.
News. So let's just get to week five.
Yeah,
the week five week that
the week of our demise. Hee haw. We really need the hee-haw guy. We haven't heard him in a while.
Yeah, we haven't heard him.
Hee-haw.
Yeah, thank you.
That's how it feels.
That
it sucks to be us, Steven.
Give it to me one more time.
Hee-haw.
That's exactly right.
I love
the
FedEx hee-haw guy.
That is not.
No, there we got to work. I want to work you work busy bee.
Work you work busy bee.
We are worky working busy bean, but it's
now
still
let's
not
get
happy
to the games. El juego grande estupendo de la semana. We just finished it in
Minnesota Vikings and New York Jets on Monday Night Football. This actually is wrong.
Why does it say it's the challenge game, Steven?
Because it's wrong.
Well, you lost the challenge game no matter what.
Yeah,
so.
I did. Well, not if I had left it where I originally was.
That's true. But if
I
it was
so
as
angry
it printed. You're so angry?
Yes, I am. That I just...
You're handling it well. You're doing it. You're
Carolina
being a pro.
Was awful. Anyways, Minnesota for three quarters was the worst football team I've ever seen in my life.
Yep. And then the spark came.
And then all of a sudden, it was like, Randy Moss, boom. And they're like, oh, we could play football.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, next.
Adrian
boom.
Peterson. Oh,
Preston
my gosh.
Harvin. Boom. Touchdown. Oh, did you see that? Did you see that pass? And that pass, that Brett Favre touchdown pass to Percy Harvin, both of them were just works of art.
Well, the Harvin one especially, he caught in stride, did not even change his footing at all.
No,
his gait was just da, 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 da. And in the middle of that, there was a football.
And then the second one, that he went up high. He gets pushed because the defender's like, the only way I'm going
to
get him is to push
him
out of bounds.
Is to force
him
out of bounds.
And he feels the push, and he immediately just slams his foot, his leg down to knock it in and
he
get it in.
He willed his right foot to weigh 3,000 pounds.
Yeah.
He just said, I order you to weigh 3,000 pounds. Boom! Like a lead weight, it goes
and
down.
And scored the touchdown.
It was inhuman. I don't know how he did it.
They clawed and clawed, but eventually,
alas,
what got them is those three quarters, the first three quarters, where they kept their defense on the field forever, basically is what did them in. Because in the fourth quarter, when they needed that defense to make that one defensive stop, the Jets
Lowry
just ran the ball, ran the ball, ran the ball.
Yep.
And Sean Green eventually breaks it for like an 18-yard touchdown.
Yep.
And that did them in. Then they're chasing points, and you know, Brett Favre is now driving. They're trying to get back in the game, and he misses a wide open Percy Harvin. I mean, literally, he makes that 12-yard pass to Percy Harvin. Harvin is still running right now, this moment. Okay? I mean, he is gone.
He's crossed the Holland Tunnel, and he's now going up Broadway and Avenue of the Stars.
Darrell Revis fell. Harvin was wide open, and Brett Favre simply overthrew him.
Wait, he's just crossed into Brooklyn. Man, he's fast.
Whether it's you know, whether his elbow was hurting him or whatever, and concentration, whatever. Look, the bottom line is you got to hand it to the Jets. They find a way to win, and I think I forgot who it was. Ditka said it best. He's like, find a way or make a way.
Yeah,
that was his thing.
That was his
philosophy. And that's what the Jets do. He's like, I used to say when I was, you know, with the Saints, and that's what Rex Ryan is saying with C. He's like, don't excuses, find a way or make a way. And that's what the Jets are doing right now. Offensively, Mark Sanchez didn't have his best game.
No, he didn't throw any interceptions or touchdowns.
He didn't throw interceptions, but he didn't throw any touchdowns
either. That's
the thing.
He was there. His quarterback rating was 60.
He managed the game. But
he was terrific in the first half on third downs.
He didn't make mistakes, which the veteran made the mistake.
Right.
Brett Favre, who once again, what he's known for, throwing a pick at the end of a game to seal the game.
Dwight Lowry returned his interception 26 yard for a touchdown with a minute 30 left as the Jets beat the Vikings 29-20 on Monday Night Football. And most people thought it was
29-20.
Most people thought the game was dull. I found it fascinating. I really was. I don't know why. I love slugfest. And this was not a pretty game,
well,
but
boy,
it was
thing,
good.
The score was 22-20. The Jets were held 3-and-out. They had a punt. They gave basically Brett Favre the ball with a minute 50 left and no timeouts. And I was like, look, I like my chances here. Brett's just got to get him in the field goal range. Are you kidding me? And that's the series where he missed Percy Harvin, who was wide open,
right.
Overthrew him. The next pass, he tried to force it. Shanko wasn't ready. Lowry stepped in front, and boom, he was gone. And nobody was catching him, and that was the game.
Check this, Steven.
Yep.
Monday was just the first time in 51 regular season games that the Vikings allowed a team to rush for over 150 yards. LT rushed for 94, and Sean Green got 57. And the two backs combined for an average nearly 5 yards a carry. That's a recipe for losing all by itself. Nick Folk, by gosh, if you had him in fantasy football, 1, 2, 3, 4.
I did have him.
4 field goals.
And an extra point. He gave you 13 points.
Yeah, from your kicker spot, you're saying thank you very much. And he was good. But, Steven, did you agree with Minnesota going for the two-point conversion there when they were still in the third quarter, I believe, after they scored that touchdown?
Whether I agree or not, that's what the chart says.
I know what the chart
in the fourth
says,
quarter,
but what do you think?
In the fourth quarter,
I didn't think they had the offense to do it.
It was there. Brett threw it to the wrong guy.
Yeah.
The running back was wide open in the corner. He never looked that way. But I think you got to. I mean, the chart's there for a reason. You got to do it. If there in the third quarter, no. Fourth quarter, yes. You got to go for it because you got to decide. You got to know in the fourth quarter, am I chasing? What am I chasing?
Blackjack chart says you always hit on 16 if the dealer's showing 7 or above. But what if the dealer's busted 5 hands in a row? Do you still hit on 16?
I do.
I don't. I just go ahead and let the dealer handle things and bust. Because better than let the dealer.
And that's when you don't. And, you know.
The dealer flips over their 16 and then has a 5,
right.
Which should have been your 5,
yes.
And then you lose.
And then everybody.
That doesn't happen very
and
often.
And then everybody loses.
That's why,
like,
I prefer to play a table by myself because I don't want anyone
and
to give me
like,
any crap.
You ass. You should don't even know how to play this.
Only
game.
Play at casinos where you can surrender. Not that we condone gambling outside
no,
of Nevada
no,
state lines.
That's right. But anyways, Favre does throw his 500th touchdown pass to Randy Moss.
And then it is Marvin the Martian impersonation, which is what you were trying to say. So let's move on to the next game. What do we got for the next game, Uncle Steven? Tell us the story, Uncle Steven. What's the next game?
The final there, if I can give the final.
2029.
Usually you give the winning score first.
You always do. I would love anybody who's been around long enough to when you had to teach me that season one. Look, there's a lot I didn't know back then.
29-20, the New York Jets improved to a very nice 4-1, while the Minnesota Vikings next week, the 1-3 Dallas Cowboys, hosted by the 1-3 Minnesota Vikings.
And Steven
Vikings.
Is seriously contemplating making this a nap game. Tell him it shouldn't be a nap game.
It's 1-3 versus 1-3, dude.
Sometimes 1-3 versus 1-3 is a bigger story than a nap game.
No, it's a nap game for me. I may not even watch it. as a matter of fact.
Yeah, the day Steven misses a Cowboys game.
That'll maybe be next
the
week.
Hey, when I die.
You know why I'm not watching? It's the weekend that I got to celebrate my daughter's birthday because the following weekend we're going to.
Not the following weekend. Yeah, the following week. It can't be that close because I haven't even figured out my itinerary.
Oh, no. It's right around the corner.
The 17th. And. Oh, we have one more.
See? God, okay. Don't scare me like that. I have so many things to get done before
then.
It's
the following weekend where we're celebrating my daughter's
birthday. All righty. The Tennessee Titans and the Dallas Cowboys.
Los Titanes. Oh, you know what?
You going to headbang this or what,
no,
man?
No.
No.
All right.
Tony Romo throwing the not one, not two, but three picks as Chris Johnson and his gold teeth run all over. Big D.
Did he really run all over?
Well, 130-some yards. I don't know how many he got, but it was more than 130, and that's a lot.
Yeah, didn't I tell you that he was going to have that one big run that he needs to go over 100 yards, and of course it would be this week?
I feel like we're talking to Mayoko again about the, yeah, my team would be good if no. we hadn't done that.
That's what he said.
If we hadn't had that one play.
Yeah, he busted a pretty big run. And
if our defender had gone down, I wish Mayoko would have explained that a little slower. But seriously, if the 49ers, that is still the one play that gets me about the Niners season. If the guy just takes a knee, the defender, when he intercepts the ball, but no, I can't even do that. I don't need to. My team wins if I just take a knee, but I can't do that.
But I'm going to score.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to look so cool going into this end zone.
CJ, 19 carries, 131 yards. 6.9 average, 2 touchdowns, long of 42 is the one you're wondering about.
Tony Romo throwing for 406 yards.
In a losing effort.
In a losing effort.
My gosh, 406 yards, 3 TDs, and 3 picks.
The Dallas Cowboys. Now, I know I don't want to harp on this, and obviously it's the team that I cheer for, but look. 501 total net yards offensively for the Cowboys, 320 for the Titans. That's more. It's about 200 yards more total offense.
And as Mayoko pointed out, it's making the wrong play at the wrong time.
Yep.
That is what kicks you in the butt.
But once again for the Dallas Cowboys, the Cowboys can overcome turnovers. What they cannot overcome, and what no team will be able to overcome, is 12 penalties. For 133 yards.
This is the season of the penalties.
All right. I've seen the Dallas Cowboys, and they can overcome a couple turnovers.
Right.
They can't overcome 133 yards versus of penalties. When they beat Houston.
How many yards of penalties?
133 yards.
That is the length of a football field and change. And a third.
Yes.
It's like, come on. If that's not a score, I don't know what is.
And so they can't do that. And I don't know if it's Wade Phillips. I don't know if it's the coordinators. I don't know what it is there that do not have their players focused. They keep making penalties. And I mean, I'm talking about penalties that wipe out 30, 40, 50-yard games.
Well, how about just the one when you finally take the lead and flips the ball to somebody?
Jason Witten for being one of the smartest, coolest cats on that football team should know better.
Boom.
That you do not, after scoring a touchdown and your team fighting hard to just tie it up, hand the ball to your offensive lineman so that he could spike it. Look,
see,
I like Mark
Colombo
linemen, a lot.
They generally are not the brightest of the bunch.
Jason, you can do it. And obviously this was something they had planned. Jason and him are buddies. They were like, Mark, I score a touchdown. I'm going to give it to you. You're going to spike it. Because that's exactly what it looked like.
Describe to people what you're seeing in my face, which is just complete disbelief.
Yeah. Didn't it look orchestrated and planned to you?
But did it not severely affect the outcome of the game?
It did, because you enforced
you then
15 yards
in a penalty, and you've got Bueller.
Kicking,
the only thing Bueller's good at is kicking it out of the back of the end zone.
Yeah. Instead of kicking from the 30, he now has to kick it from the 15. He's not getting in the end zone now.
Instead of starting at the 20.
Mariani, the return man for Tennessee, returns it all the way back to the Cowboy 15. Oh, by the way, face mask penalty.
Oops,
half the distance
half
to the goal.
Distance,
first
seven.
And goal from the 7.
Wow. That's if he really worked that out in advance with Colombo, then I was going to protect Witten, but
boom.
No,
for both of them.
There is no protecting Wintner or Colombo on that. That was, they should know better. They should know better. And the thing was, it wasn't just the spike. I think had he just handed him the ball and Colombo spiked it, and they went to the sideline, it would have been okay. I think the refs would have let him get away with that. Yeah. It was the afterwards, the jumping up and chest bumping and Colombo falling on his butt, and you can't go to the ground.
You can't go to the ground.
And that's what brought the penalty.
Unbelievable.
Fine. You did the whole nice little, he's going to spike it for you. Okay, that's okay. It's the whole now falling to the ground and being like you've never been in there before. And from Jason Witten, someone who I know has been there before many times, very, very bad. Bad mistake. But I'm not going to take anything away from the Tennessee Titans.
They're fantastic.
From Vince Young, other than that first drive where there were three pass interference penalties on the Dallas Cowboys, they got called for less than what I saw Cromartie doing to Randy Moss. Cromartie was inside Randy Moss's jock tonight twice.
That's a little TMI guy.
And there was no flag thrown. The Cowboys.
Well, at that point, you call the police.
Cowboys cornerbacks did less than that. And they were called for pass interference. It was crazy. But that first touchdown pass, Vince Young literally looked at the replay. I swear his eyes are closed, and he just flung it up. No, I kid you, I'm not. He was about to get
smacked.
Being
Vince Young.
He was about to get smacked. And literally,
I think close your eyes before an accident.
And he just threw it. And somehow Nate Washington came out with the ball. And I'm like, you got to freaking be kidding me.
But it's going to
be a long day. And Vince had
Dallas started the game exactly as I asked him to, which was to basically bring your guys up, create the pocket, contain them within the pocket. Then Chris Johnson can't rip off the big yards, and they were doing that at the beginning of the game. And then somehow I don't know where it broke down.
Second half,
but the second half everything changed.
The Cowboys caught up; they tied it 20-20, and there was some cockiness going on. And next thing you know, you make a mistake. Chris Johnson breaks off a 33-yard run, and they're in scoring range.
Final on that game, Tennessee Titans go to 3-2 with a 34-27 victory. Cowboys fall to 1-3. Dyslexia boy there. Dyslexia. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Next game, what's up, Steven?
We've got the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
The lone undefeated team host traveling to Indianapolis.
Hey, there was a long time that this was looking like it could be a major upset. The fourth quarter started with the score 9-9,
yeah,
Steven. You said on television, there's hundreds of thousands of people to testify.
Okay.
As Steven said, the Colts are going to score early and often and make this game irrelevant. You're not going to be able to establish a running game when you're chasing
points. They scored early. Unfortunately, instead of touchdowns, there were field goals.
Yeah, Adam Vinatieri with 1, 2, 3, 4 field goals.
Let me get on the phone right now with Haley, the head coach of
Todd.
The Kansas City
Chiefs. Todd.
Look, I don't know you. I know you're 3-0, and you're on the road in Indianapolis. Don't ever, ever, ever start another game with an onside kick. You do not. You do not deserve to do it.
Sean Payton got mass props for doing it because it worked. And this is outcome.
No. He did it at the half.
He started at a half, right. But it's
in a position where no one had ever done it before.
Right.
So,
well, in a Super Bowl.
Well, exactly. In a Super Bowl, coming out of the second half.
It's the ball bounced funny. It bounced backwards.
When it happens in regular season, you know when the time to do the kickoff, onside's kick? The first game of the season.
Yeah.
I've seen it work
several
times. First
yeah.
game of the season. Everybody's chumped up for the game. Everybody wants to get back for block. Oh, onside's kick. Oh, man, they got it.
Son of a...
When you're on the road at Indianapolis and then your kicker can't even kick the ball 10 yards?
Well, he kicked the ball far enough to go 10 yards, but the ball didn't cooperate. On the second bounce, because it's not round, it bounced backwards on the second bounce, which just was totally...
So,
I felt so badly for the guy who ends up catching the ball. He's like, I can't hold it here. I'm not allowed to have it. It's over.
You give Peyton Manning the short field. He marches down the field. Fortunately, your defense held him to a field goal. Very nice. 3-0. And you go into halftime, 6-3. Things are looking pretty good. As you said, you go into the fourth quarter, 9-9.
This is the perfect scenario.
Boob of the day. Give it to me.
All right, but I don't understand why somebody has to get Boob of the Day. Because
I'll tell you
they battled
why. I'm going to explain to you. 9-9.
They battled so
score
freaking
tied,
hard.
Score tied 9-9. Give me Boob of the Day, Sal.
I will, but...
To Dwayne Bowe.
Oh, yeah. Well,
nine,
I get it.
Oh,
that's for me, too.
9-9. It's tied. You're on the road. You need to make a play. He hits you in the hands in the end zone, and you drop the football.
Yeah, I listened to him. You know what he said afterwards?
I goofed.
All right, I know you goofed. So I'm going to... You know what? I'm going to go... I'm Matt Castle. I'm going to go to you again because you're my guy. You're the man. You're the wide receiver.
Stud quarterbacks do this,
I'm
going
to go right
way.
Back to you. Oh, you dropped it again.
And then I listened to him and he said this.
I goofed.
Don't be Andy Reid, man. Stop goofing.
We're too stupid.
He gets Boob of the Day. When you are on the road and you're undefeated, you got to make that catch.
Yeah.
He scores that touchdown. They go up 16-9. They have a chance of knocking off the Indianapolis
they
Colts.
They absolutely do, and I
Instead,
believe that they could have.
After those two drops, they get nothing. They got no points out of it. And the Colts go on to score 10 points and win 19-9.
And Peyton Manning, I tell you, I'm going to stand by my observation that he didn't look right. Steven believes that he wasn't throwing the ball enough. That's fine, but I didn't think that Peyton looked right. Now, the numbers don't bear out at all what I witnessed in the game. But oftentimes, like I said to Mayoko, it's like, you know, Alex Smith's numbers looked fine, but that doesn't tell me what I saw in the game, which was he didn't look that good. Sometimes the numbers look better than they actually were. Sometimes they look worse than they actually
All
were.
All I know is at halftime, Peyton Manning had thrown about 14 passes, and they'd run the ball about 28 times.
Agreed. And that's not
that
Indianapolis Colts
not
football.
Peyton Manning football.
Right.
You're basically saying, well, we're changing everything. I mean, they were changing. Not only were they running the football, which it wasn't working. Second, they were changing formations. They were putting Reggie Wayne on the opposite side than where he normally is. And they were moving him around all over the place.
And not working, by the way, just to support you, means a die averages 3 yards per carry.
Yeah, right. And that's fine. 3, 6, 9. Oh, you didn't get a first down punt.
Well, you could go for it on fourth down if you're Bill Belichick.
That's true.
And then you would have made it.
So the deal is, that's why I felt he was like, he never got into this Peyton Manning rhythm. He's in a rhythm. He comes in, boom, pass, first down, pass, second down, pass, third down, pass, first down. We're going to little run. Pass, third down, pass. That is Peyton Manning. And
agreed.
When he runs his offense like that, nobody can stop him. He gets in the zone and he is focused. But when you're constantly just walking back and handing the ball off.
I ask you a question then.
Yeah.
Are we seeing what I predicted, which is that this is no longer Tony Dungy's team, and as a result, they're not going to be nearly as good?
I think so. I think that somewhere, you know, it's a new offensive coordinator. Payne's now having to work with different people. And they're asking him to do different things. And
in
it's
a way
not,
that he hasn't normally done them.
And he obviously, this is the first Colts
this
game.
This is now the Jim Caldwell era.
From beginning to end. And it's just like, dude, that did not look like Peyton Manning.
Significant deviation from what the Colts have successfully done for so long under Peyton Manning. And why you change something that's not broken is beyond me.
They managed to get the win.
They did, but it was ugly win.
3-1 for Kansas City.
And I still want to take my hat off to what they're doing there with Matt Castle and Todd Haley. They are playing hard. They're playing good defense, really good defense. And I am likely to see them.
Well, I've changed my stance of Kansas City being a pretender to more like they're being a contender now.
Great. I think that's appropriate.
And the San Diego Chargers, hey, this team isn't going to hand you that division. You're going to have to go get it. Oh, and by the way, this is the fourth straight season that the San Diego Chargers start 2-3.
Yeah, this has happened again. So as I went through and moved the helmets
today. No fast start.
I took all last place teams and moved them up at least 2 places except for one. So because I hadn't moved the helmets a whole lot.
Okay.
So in reshuffling the helmets to reflect the standings today, because I could do it today before Monday Night Football because it wouldn't out affect the standings, how the helmets would be placed.
Right.
And so I did them all. The last place helmet was moved up to first place generally, to second place occasionally, except for one division.
I don't know what What?
So what team didn't necessarily get moved?
What team didn't move?
Yeah, they stayed in last place.
The Lions?
No, what? They moved up. Dude, they're doing great.
How did the Lions move up? They were last year. They're still in last.
Okay, never mind. They're still last. But they're not the ones I was thinking of. I was thinking of Buffalo Bills.
Oh, okay, there you go.
I was thinking of the real bottom either. Of the barrel.
Yeah, they didn't move either. And Carolina probably didn't move. Were they third last year?
No. Carolina actually moved down. That was my point. They moved down. So, okay. But it was the bottom of the barrel teams.
Lions
moving up.
And Buffalo stayed put.
So somebody wanted me to give myself some self-congratulations, some self-congratulatory affection here, because of my statement early in this season, which was that the bad teams have virtually all improved. And there are some middle-of-the-road teams that have devolved, and that would be the Carolina Panthers and things like that.
Yeah.
But you've got Tampa Bay looked fantastic this weekend, and you've got all these teams that were really just cellar dwellers perennially. Detroit, with their backup quarterback, doing really well, and the Rams looking good.
They beat the Rams, dude.
Again, you've got injuries flying all over with these young teams that have been cellar dwellers, and they're playing reasonably well. Washington with the revamped system, playing really hard, and it's been an exciting thing.
Look, Detroit scored 41 points. We'll get to that game. It was the challenge game. They won. They scored 44 points this week on the Rams. Next week they go to New York, and I bet the Giants pound them.
I don't know, because the Giants have just come off two big wins, and so now they lose. I don't know. Anyway. Next game up, Steven, is from the games of the week.
New Orleans Saints travel to Arizona to face the Cardinals. Surprise!
I'll give you the Gomer pile, but if there was really games that we could rather not talk about, it would be this one.
Surprise!
Yeah, thanks, Gomer.
I mean, again, I want
rookie quarterback, and I tell you, Jeffrey. Arizona Cardinals had no rushing touchdowns, had no passing touchdowns, yet they scored three touchdowns.
Yet they knocked off the Super Bowl champs.
And they beat the New Orleans Saints 30-20. Now, let me tell you how they scored their three touchdowns. Are you ready? The Saints fumble, gets picked up, returned for a touchdown. Max Hall, the rookie quarterback who... He's going, he's running, he's scrambling, he's going to score a touchdown. And for some reason, instead of sliding, he decides to dive head
first.
Well,
he saw the tape of Mark Sanchez do it so many times, and it worked out so well for him.
Crushed.
And his head fell off.
Literally.
Okay, it was his helmet. But it looked like for a second his head came off.
And he fumbles the ball, but it's picked up by a big old offensive lineman who...
Fat man with football.
...jumps into the end zone, scores a touchdown.
We had a lot of fat man with football this weekend.
And then, Jeffrey... late in the game, Saints trailing 23-20. Brees throws a touchdown. Cromartie takes it and returns it for a touchdown. Those are their three touchdowns.
There you go. That's
21 points, two off of Saints turnovers, one off of Max Hall fumble.
That's all you need.
That's all you need.
To beat the world champs.
That's all you need to beat anybody in the National Football League. Here's what I'm trying to say is, look, I still think there's that elite group of five or six teams.
Do you?
Except the only difference is those elite teams, to continue to be elite and to be at the top, they need to be perfect.
Oh.
They could have a flaw or two. They can have a mistake or two. But if they just like keep turning the ball over and keep having penalties, they ain't beating anybody. Anybody could beat them.
The reason I picked these helmets to put up on our website for my article, I put the Chargers, Colts, Patriots, Saints, Vikings, Cowboys, because they're kind of always in there at the end, and they were kind of everybody's preseason darlings.
Yeah.
And they have egg all over their face right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Indianapolis Colts, they won, but you almost lost to the Kansas City Chiefs?
It happens.
Serious?
It happens.
And that's why I actually picked those six teams, is because they're just always in the discussion about who's going to be the best. And the fact is, in this season, we don't know. We don't know nothing.
We don't know. You really don't know, and you never will.
And we never, ever will. Well, we will know, because I am fascinated. One of the emails I got today, or it was a response to my article, was someone just basically saying, so basically we have no idea who's going to play in the Super Bowl. And truer words were never spoken. We have, maybe it's Atlanta, maybe it's Baltimore, but we have no freaking idea.
No, no.
And that is so exciting. How many seasons has it been? It's been a generation since we've had a team that is not undefeated at this point in the season. It's been a generation.
40 years.
That's a generation, 40 years. And that blows my mind. There's so much.
Isn't 40 years, a couple generations, a generation like 20 years?
40.
It's 40?
It is definitionally 40.
Okay.
And Trisha says the word definitionally is not a word, and I disagree with her. So I'm just going to keep saying it. She edited it out of my article.
Good.
It's a word.
It's not
just
a word.
Just because Microsoft doesn't know it doesn't mean it's
not
a word.
You can't just add L-Y to the end of anything and make a word.
You can do most things, actually. It depends on what it is, but most things you actually can.
Okay.
The English language is...
Jeff Lee.
There is a Jeff Lee way of doing things. Now, in defense of President Bush, there's not a Mexicanly-oriented way of doing things, one of his greatest misspeaks.
Yeah.
All the Mexicanly-oriented businesses...
You just can't add L-Y.
You can't always. Mexicanly is not a real word.
All right. So, anyways, the Arizona Cardinals surprise New Orleans and get the win there. It is going to be a crazy season. Moving on, the Denver Broncos travel to Baltimore.
Oh, my gosh.
To face the Ravens.
At least the Baltimore Ravens can do what they're supposed to do.
Thank you, Baltimore.
Do we have to thank Team Steven that actually pass our expectations? They don't exceed our expectations.
Yeah,
they just do
just
what
passing.
We thought we
they're
were going to do.
Yeah, they're just doing what I... Thank you, Baltimore.
My gosh. Ray Rice, little runner back from Ravens for Rutgers.
Finally showed
crazy.
Up. Great. Great. He decides to show up
the week
I pay him in fantasy football. Thanks. Okay? The whole rest of the season, you've done poopa-caca. And then you show up in
133,
two
TDs.
Two TDs, 133 yards. Wait,
that's a lot of fantasy points. He frustrated Denver to death. And Kyle Orton in a 31-17 victory on Sunday. Baltimore jumps to 4-1. They are hot. And, Steven, the fact that we saw them play live against the Jets, and we said at the time, these may be the best two teams in football.
They may be.
Because their defenses were so smash. It was so stunning to see live. And I'm so excited that we got a chance to be there and see it firsthand.
That defense is pretty incredible.
They are. And they're only going to get better when Ed Reed comes back to this team.
Kyle Orton threw for 314 yards. Yeah. 200 of that was junk garbage time.
He was trying to get back in the game.
Okay. He was losing the whole game. So, yeah.
Yeah, throw the ball when you're losing.
And the Brandon Lloyd, 5 catches for
Brandon
135
Lloyd.
Yards and 2 touchdowns. I had him in a couple leagues.
Oh, my Lloyd.
Because the buddy told you to get him a couple weeks ago.
Oh, my Lloyd.
He was incredible. But once again, it was in garbage time. So, it's not that impressive to me. Yeah, the stats for the stats guy who just looks at stats, I mean, man, it was fantastic.
And if you're a fantasy geek, you go, hey, I did great.
Yeah, fantastic. But you know what?
But if you're watching the game.
Ray Rice dominated.
He did. The guy was completely out of control, and they dominated so many categories
in
this game.
He had 133 yards rushing. He had like another 30 receiving, and he had 2 touchdowns. So that's a big day for anybody.
50% third down efficiency for Baltimore, around 30% first down efficiency for
Denver.
The only
thing that scares me about the Baltimore Ravens is, look, they're winning games. You got to give them props. Their defense is fantastic. But offensively, Flacco's got – throwing the ball, they're not throwing the ball well.
He does not look very pretty when he throws the ball.
I think that eventually when it comes down to, you know, we need to throw the ball, they may not be able to.
Yeah.
So,
well, we would like to see Joe Flacco be able to rise up a little bit, put up a quarterback rating around 90 or so a week would be good. But no, he hasn't been there yet. But you know what? I suspect I think it's for the best, Steven, that he's able to come along slowly because his defense is so good.
While Baltimore improves to 4-1 and the Denver Broncos fall to 2-3. Yes, Denver Bronco fans, I said they would only win 2 games all season long. You better enjoy them because there's not going to be many more. All right.
Look, hey, I think.
Okay, they might win a couple more.
I think 4. What they're doing there on offense with the Denver Broncos is pretty good.
You can't throw the ball that much in this league. and not have any kind of a running game and be successful.
Well, they've tried to have a running game, Steven, so you can't criticize them for not trying. They've signed
I'm not saying that they're not
trying.
Army
of running backs that they keep getting hurt.
I'm not saying that they're not trying. I'm saying that they don't have one.
I'm just wanting
And they're trying to bring in pieces and pieces of the puzzle and stuff. And you know, every piece that they bring in, it's like they try to force it in. Remember, it's one thing I don't like to do puzzles with Didi, because
if you
try to force in a piece,
she gets
slaps your hand off.
She gets surly.
Whoa, what did I just do? Like, it doesn't go there. Give it to me.
Okay.
And then she takes the piece away from
me. Yeah, she will. She'll ban you from that piece.
So anyways, but that's what Denver Broncos are trying to do with running backs. And it... You need a running game.
But I want a little bit of this to Coach McDaniels. I want to eat a little crow because...
Are you going
to
hug him?
No, heck no.
You going
to
love him?
No, he doesn't want to hug me, and I don't want to hug him. So Okay. Let's just be clear about that.
All right.
But I like the last sentence of my column. It's not going to give anything away that I wrote today. The league is stronger for the parody, and the pundits must get much more accustomed to that foul taste which comes from regularly eating crow.
I don't eat crow. I just think I was wrong. Whatever. Next week. Just move on to the next week.
Talk to me next week, man.
Yeah.
Well, I believe eating crow is...
Okay, so one of my guarantees that
I'm eating crow on Coach McDaniels. I think he's doing a better job.
One of my guarantees from this week was that CJ wouldn't go over 100.
There you go.
So someone posts on Facebook, I guarantee this, CJ will go over 100 for the Cowboys. I'm like, yeah, it doesn't really mean anything, Neil, when you wait till after the game to post the stupid thing.
Oh, wait. So predictions that are made after the fact... Oh, that's not a prediction. That's called the news!
Yeah, I am bold and brash, and I go out there with my guarantees, and sometimes I'm wrong. Okay, doesn't mean you got to go throw it in my face after it doesn't come true.
Well, just don't call it a prediction.
If
you're going to try and rub someone's nose in something, don't call it a prediction. Yeah. Call it, by the way, he did. Ha ha, I'm really smart for catching you in a mistake. I guess, but that doesn't really make you smart, does it?
There you go.
That just makes you somebody who likes to point out other people's
31-17, Baltimore improves to 4-1, Broncos 2-3. I already said that. So let's move on to the final game of the week as the Green Bay Packers travel to Washington to face the Redskins.
What a great game. I mean, it was unfortunate.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Somehow I knew that you were going to come with the what a great game.
It was.
This was a
it was a mess, but it
game
was
to watch.
But you know what?
It was just
hear me.
I
hear
as
me.
A matter of fact,
you knew what I was going to say it, so why don't you let me finish?
As a matter of fact, I could have fallen asleep.
You could have fallen asleep. I didn't fall asleep. I loved it. This game was something else. I actually went on Facebook during the game to find Ed, DC Sport Fan, and to tell him when the Packers decided to go for it on fourth down. Earlier in the game,
yep.
And not take the 3 points, I said to him, you never go on the road and not take points.
It's going to come back.
Never. And Ed says, like it's going to matter. McNabb looks horrible. And I'm like, yeah, just wait. And I was right. Those 3 points were called the difference maker.
You know which
Washington
three
beats Green Bay 16-13.
You know which 3 points were even more important? The field goal he missed at the
Mason
end of the
Crosby
game.
Right at the very end of the game. Yeah, those are a little bigger.
He decided to hit the goalpost.
The left goalpost was looking very attractive to him, and he wanted to nail it, and he did.
So when I asked Mason Crosby after the game what happened, he was like, well, dude said you'd give me $100 if I could hit the goalpost.
Thought he said,
I goofed.
That too.
Man, he hit that goalpost hard. It's got a big dent in it. Right where the football hit it.
It does.
Dink.
It does. But anyways, so the game goes to overtime.
Oh.
Aaron Rodgers, as he's throwing the ball, gets knocked down and gets concussed.
Which, by the way, wasn't a word until 4 years ago, 3 years ago.
What?
Concussed. People would say he got a concussion, and we've gotten so used to saying it that we had to form another form of the word.
And that's great.
Concussed. You can make up words.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
And that's fine, but what is yours? Definitionally?
Definitionally.
Yeah.
Definitionally.
Sorry.
Something is definitionally a certain way.
The reason what happened,
definition.
The reason why concussed came into play is because not just you were saying it, everybody was saying it.
I'm not saying I made that word up.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I'm saying this is part of our vernacular
now. Because there were a lot of people. I hear everybody every day saying definitionally.
I did when I was in graduate school.
okay, you went to school with a bunch of weird people.
I'd like to think that they were kind of smart people.
So LaRon Landry comes up with a diving interception and takes the ball back to the Packers' 39-yard line. And McNabb makes a couple plays, gets them into field goal range, and ganó. Do you know what ganó is Spanish for? They won.
And
ganó.
And you know what it is in English? It means your kicker that's owned in 20% of fantasy football teams is in second place.
You're going to bring everything back to fantasy football.
Well, when I go out there on waivers and grab a guy a couple weeks ago, yeah, because he just seems to be money, and I don't give a rat's butt that nobody owns him.
Yeah,
I don't care. All I know is he's good for 10 points a week. And you know what? For a kicker, that's all I'm asking. And that's a lot to ask out of a kicker. And you know what?
10 points a week from your kicker?
1 week he got 8 points. He's been 10 points. I own him everywhere. He's my kicker everywhere, virtually.
Everywhere.
Except for where I got Vinatieri. And seriously, and he's been money. It's been so funny to watch Gano just go out there. Because for whatever reason, the Redskins bogged down inside the red zone and seem to have a lot of trouble punching it in.
Well, both teams are now 3-2. The Redskins improved to 3-2.
Which of these
Packers
2-3
teams to 3-2
is better?
Watching the Redskins right now.
No, let's just say that Aaron Rodgers was healthy.
Oh, he's not concussed?
Let's say he's unconcussed. Or it's a mild concussion.
Well, I still think the Green Bay Packers are a better football team.
Okay.
I think they have more other positions.
I worry about the rest of the injuries as well.
But, yeah, I mean, the problem...
The running game
has been
smashed. The problem
that hurt with the Green Bay Packers. And one of the things, you know, coming out of Green Bay right now is that there are some players now starting to wonder about their general manager and Ted Thompson. And it's like, look, Ryan Grant went down and we needed a running back and Buffalo was shopping a running back. And it's Marshawn Lynch is still a pretty good running back. And, all they wanted was a fourth-round pick, and we couldn't give that up?
No.
We couldn't give up a fourth-round pick, and instead Seattle makes the big splash, and
it's
they
really
get him.
Really expensive.
And, you know, and when you got players now starting to wonder if your organization gives a beep about the team, that's not good.
Yeah.
That's not good. And if you're a Packers fan, go look it up. There are a couple players that have been vocal about that.
Yeah, they've been very, very frustrated. You know, and that was Brett Favre's constant lament, you know, is, come on, let's make this team better.
Yeah,
let's make this team better. Let's spend some money. Let's make this team better. So they're like, no, we're going to roll with what we got.
Yeah. Well, they're rolling with what they got. I think that is going to be
But Mason Crosby and all defense of him, that was 53
yards.
Yeah,
it was 53.
That was
yarder.
Really long.
The running game, the lack of running game is going to hurt the Green Bay Packers.
It already has. It's hurt them badly. But, you know, it's ironic that it's in this week, Stephen, where we had Jackson rush for over 100 yards. For the first time this season, we've actually had a legitimate running back come in and do some of the things, Brandon Jackson, that we thought
he
was going to do, which was catching passes out of the back.
Like a 70-yarder, though, early.
Well, I don't...
In the first quarter, I think it was like a 60 or 70 yarder.
Well, this is the first time he got over 63 yards, Stephen. So I've got to give him a little bit of love for getting to 115.
Get him love.
On only 10 carries.
Yeah. One of them was huge.
Yeah. No, his long was, it says his long was 12.
Brandon Jackson.
71.
It
might have been a pass.
It was probably a pass. Yeah. His longest rush was a 71 yarder.
Well, it was probably a pass, though. It was probably a little dump off in the backfield.
It is a rushing 71-yard,
according to NFL.com, and according to ESPN.com, his long was 12 yards. All righty, then.
I'm going to
Of course,
defer
up top,
to
it says
NFL.
That his 2010 long was 71 yards. What kind of nonsense is this?
Can you do me a favor, though, just for the future? Let's defer to the NFL.com.
We always defer, but how else can I get misinformation into the media cycle without using ESPN?
Oh, gosh. Okay.
All right, moving on.
16-13, the final there in overtime. The Redskins, smoke and mirrors, baby. But you know what? It's getting the job done.
That's right. That's all
right,
all that matters.
Let's head to must-see games where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers head to Cincinnati and stun the Bengals.
Cincinnati Bengals, boy, they're really bad.
I'm not even singing for them. I'm done. I'm done on that bandwagon.
Well, come on, get on the bandwagon,
no,
Steven.
No.
You must get on it because it's so lonely.
I am. You know what? Cincinnati fans and people, if you want a bandwagon, make it yourself.
Marvin Lewis is not even on the bandwagon. I'm just telling you stories I've heard.
Hey, well, you know what?
Marvin's like, you know what? I'm going to start looking at good teams.
He better not be on the bandwagon because he should be, you know what? He should be looking for a job somewhere else.
Well, his resume, I actually saw it on Monster.com. I did. And I saw Marvin Lewis, former head coach, it said, of the Cincinnati Bengals. It was almost like he had worked on it last week.
Wow.
Maybe it was just, you know, sometimes we do this on the website. Did you notice that my article was up there early before it was published? I saved it as a draft.
No.
You didn't see that. You were too busy today.
I was working, and my wife all of a sudden yells at me and is like,
why can't you spell winning?
Can you tell your partner to learn how to freaking spell winning? He's misspelled it all over this place.
Yeah, I have.
So you have her proof your stuff?
Yeah, she's my proofreader. I love my sister, and she's a good proofreader.
Great. Well, learn how to spell winning,
and
will you?
She generally turns stuff around.
W-I-N-N-I-N-G.
Well, so here's how I'm going to remember it going forward. I'm just a very poor speller in general, but winning is something you want more of. So there's more ends. There's more ends.
Nice.
Everybody wants more wins. Look, dude, I'm a really poor speller. Okay, that's all there's to it.
So I want to get this right. So I'm actually going to. Because
the point was we saved it as a draft, and it was in the drafts area of our website, and Marvin Lewis saved his resume as a draft, and it accidentally got out the monster.com.
It got put up there.
That was the joke.
All right, so here's the deal. The Cincinnati Bengals have a 21-14 lead with 2:18 on the clock.
2 minutes, 18 seconds.
All right. If you can't keep a 7-point lead with 2 minutes to go in the game, you deserve to lose. Second.
You look like Pastor Albert Tate here. You're
why?
Using your hands for emphasis, yeah. and you sounded like a Southern preacher here, Steven.
Second, why are you throwing the ball so much when you got a 7-point lead and there's only 2 minutes left on the clock?
That's just how Albert preaches, man.
I'm preaching it, baby. I'm preaching this to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Amen.
So now all of a sudden, Carson Palmer, who hasn't been accurate all season,
yes,
throws an INT.
Yes, brother.
And Tampa Bay gets the ball. They march down the field, and from the Cincinnati 47-yard line,
mm-hmm,
on first and 20.
Yes.
First and 20, Jeffrey.
Yes.
Josh Freeman just tosses the ball. No, I'm sorry. This is the...
Dude, you lost me.
I did.
You were
I'm
being
sorry.
The preacher,
Josh
and I was
Freeman
being the audience.
Throws a 20-yard touchdown pass to Williams in the back of the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Ties it up 21-21. Mm-hmm. Now, it's 21-21, Jeffrey. There's a 1:30 left on the clock.
Right.
Cincinnati gets the ball back.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to try and get in field goal range because you were dumb enough to turn the ball over when
your
you
defense,
had the lead.
And your defense couldn't hold it.
And your defense didn't do anything for you.
Right.
This is what you've been proud on. I got a great defense.
Right. That's what Steven used to say.
Well, I thought they were.
That's what he used defense. To say. He doesn't say it anymore.
So they're marching down the field. It's first and 20 after a penalty on T.O. for offensive pass interference, which, by the way, I think was a little bogus. Okay.
All right.
It was very ticky-tack. And that's the other thing. This is my rant might be. The officiating is so different from one game to the next. And that is not what the NFL's officiating should be. It should be the same every single week for every
Instead,
single game.
It's turning into baseball.
Yes, which, God, I hate that. Anyways, first and 20 at the Cincinnati 47. So you're near midfield, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All you need is to get like another 15, 18, 20 yards, and we're going to kick a field goal. We're going to win this game.
Yep.
Carson Palmer tries to force the ball to Chad Ochocinco. Now, Chad has been irrelevant this whole game.
True that.
Forcing it into Chad Ochocinco. He's not ready for the ball. It goes off his hands. It gets picked off. And now Tampa Bay has the ball at the Cincinnati 34. 14 seconds left on the clock. Now, you're at the Cincinnati. They're at Tampa Bay's at the Cincinnati 34. So this is going to be about a 50-yarder. It's going to be a tough field goal.
Right.
All you got to do is let's hold them, keep them. They got no timeouts, so they got to throw the ball into the middle of the field, into the outside.
Right, they got to get it to the outside. Got to keep it out of bounds. Got to kill the clock.
Field, they're not going to have time to get their field goal unit out. So all you got to do is what? Defend the sideline.
You give them the middle. Give them the middle. Because even if they complete it, guess what? They won't have time to get the unit out there to make the kick.
So Josh Freeman somehow finds Mike Spurlock. Spurlock sounds like a name from a Star Trek episode.
No, that's Spock.
Yes, you're right, Spock. But still, kind of, he could be related. Spurlock.
He's Spock's illegitimate child.
Catches, and first of all, this catch was amazing. So you
got
to give some props to Spurlock.
And Spock got
Spurlock
together.
Catches this ball. Spurlock. The ball literally is like 3 yards out of bounds. He reaches. He somehow tippy taps the toes, keeps the ball. And the ball looks like it hits the ground, but it doesn't move, so it keeps possession. He doesn't drop it. He catches it at the Cincinnati 13-yard line, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked. I was like, didn't I just say defend the sideline?
Yeah.
Let him catch it in the middle of the field? How are you going to let him catch a 20-yarder? Anyways, so here comes Tampa Bay. They send out, I don't even know how to pronounce the dude's name.
Connor Barth.
Barth.
Bart.
Barth.
You dropped the H.
Well, why the hell do you have freaking H there?
Look, you're Spanish.
It's spelled
B-A-R-T-H.
Barth.
You're Spanish, Stephen. You are accustomed to enunciating every single letter that's out there.
Because if you're going to put it there, that's why I'm going to say it.
Well, in many countries, in many languages, there are silent letters.
Well, that's stupid.
Probably true. Probably true.
If your name
alas,
is Bart,
that is
spell
the way
it B-A-R-T.
That's
and
just,
I'll call
it's
you
too
Bart.
Short, so it looks too short, so I'm just going to add an unnecessary letter that
well,
we won't pronounce.
Well, then you know what? I'm going to call him Barth. If you're going to put the H there, I'm going to call you Barth. Because I was taught the T-H is... Exactly.
But in Spanish, you pronounce it like a D, so what up with that?
Could pronounce what like a D?
T-H is generally pronounced...
It's not the...
And is it? That's the way it sounds to an English-speaking ear.
Okay, but it's not duh.
It's not duh, but it sounds like a duh.
Barth hits the field just goal saying. As time expires.
31-yarder.
Tampa Bay wins 24-21.
Congratulations to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are the Pirates that do things, and they do things on the Bengals, and the Bengals look like do-do. Buccaneers go to 3-1.
So they are doo-doo guys.
Oh, the Bengals are full of doo-doo.
Oh, I thought you said the Bucks were the Parrots to doo-doo.
They do do things, and they doo-dooed on the Bengals that are
but
doo-doo.
But they're not doo-doo.
No, they
doo-dooed.
They do things, dude.
So they're the Pirates who do something? Dude. Someone sent us an email of what they should be called this week, Jeffrey.
I've only been continuing to get Charger emails about right.
Charger
San Diego
emails?
Foolish Chargers.
No, someone said this
Chargers.
That the Tampa
they are
Bay
the Pirates that what?
They
probably only sent it to you.
I guess I can't even find it right now.
Okay. Please remember to CC us. And again, NFL Rants and Raves etiquette says that you put your first name, the city that you're from, and your age. Thanks so much. Your cooperation is greatly appreciated.
Yeah. I like this one. Where did it go?
You did like that one, but now it's gone.
Pick 'em? More like, what the heck is going on 'em?
That was funny. And how many wins did he get this week? 4?
He got 5.
It's like,
me.
Dude. And
yeah,
that was, who was that from? Ramon?
Ramon. A.
Thanks,
yes.
Ramon.
Thanks, Ramon. That
you
cracked
left your
me
H
up
off.
A little bit, yes.
But hey, that's okay.
But Jeff only wants that to know whether he can, you know, sexually molest you and stuff. I don't know why I said that.
Wow.
Look at your face.
The word is called incredulity.
Incredulity?
Incredulity.
Is that what it is?
That is the look of incredulousness.
I see.
Wow. Well,
I'm just kidding. I don't know where that came from. It's late, and I'm starting to get a little loony.
Wow.
I'm starting to get a little loony.
Looney Tunes.
Can we move on?
Can we move on? I don't know. You just accused me of things that you wouldn't even have me in your home if that was true.
I just accused you of what? Cincinnati drops to 2-3 while the Tampa Bay Buccaneers incredibly improved to 3-1. Moving on to the only other must-see game, Sunday Night Football on the Philadelphia Eagles at San Francisco 49ers. Well, we pretty much already covered this one with Mayoko. And poor Mayoko. Wild. Poor Mayoko has to go and watch it again.
Right now, he is looking at the entire game and giving basically like letter grades to all 53 players on the roster.
Yeah, so yes, there's like, I don't know how I'm going to do David Carr because he got on the field.
He did great. The crowd cheered for him. They were chanting his name.
We won.
And he didn't make a mistake.
We won Carr. You know what? Carr's not the answer, though.
Well, according to John Clayton, when he was at 49ers camp with me this summer, he actually said, you know, I asked, because, again, as Steven pointed out earlier in the show, beat writers are not generally free to speak their mind completely. Just ask the local television guy up there in the Bay Area who used to have a gig interviewing Singletary until somehow Singletary got the impression that the guy was being terse with him and trying to bait him,
right,
which wasn't true at all. And now the guy loses his job of covering the team. And he moves on to doing weather and things like that. So you can't speak your mind completely freely. So John Clayton, I asked, because John Clayton's a national guy, I said, John, tell me about Alex Smith. And he says, oh, Jeff, he says, I'd have Carr out there in a second.
Wow.
John Clayton says this, ESPN, and he's a pretty good mind about football.
Well, I usually don't like to read message boards for other teams and stuff, but...
Well, sometimes they're funny.
I got to read this
sometimes
one.
Sometimes they're funny.
The 49ers were 4 in the preseason. Why? Because Alex Smith only played 2 quarters. Ouch. Ouch, man.
There you go.
You know what? He was okay. He had, I think, the worst play I've seen a quarterback make in a pretty long time, and that's when he was in the pocket. Things started to collapse, and he started to run out of the pocket.
Is this the empty-handed fumble?
He started to run backwards. And instead of just throwing the ball away and getting relived another day.
And in the driving wind and snow of San Francisco. That's impossible. Yeah,
there was no snow. But there was driving wind.
There was wind.
Instead of just, you know, just live to fight another day, he tried to do something. I don't know. And then all of a sudden, there was a stiff breeze and the ball fell out of his hand.
There was a 200-mile-an-hour gale that hit the ball, and only the ball.
Yeah.
And blew it out of his hand.
Well, in his defense, there was a big 330-pound lineman coming
near him. What? And that startled response of, oh, my God, makes your hand open up and you drop the ball?
So it's picked up.
Or are your hands that sweaty, Alex? Because you're so nervous. I really hope. I mean, I said quickly with Matt, I said, is this possibly a Vernon Davis turnaround moment? Because he did finish the game strongly. I don't hold the interception at the end of the game against him because you just have to make a play. You did, and it wasn't there, and you had to force it because the game's over otherwise.
Yeah.
And maybe something good would happen, and it didn't. But up until that point, when he had the confrontation with Singletary, and then he came back and finished the game, he looked like a very different quarterback.
He was.
He looked like Brett Favre looked for that 15-minute span in tonight's game, where he just looked very effective and confident, and he had the swag.
He knew where to go with the ball, and he made this, I'm throwing it right now, and boom.
Well, Vernon Davis had that same moment where he got benched by Singletary, turned his life around. But as Matt said, after 6 years, seriously, I don't know, but I hope so for sake of 49ers fans, for sake of Steven and I having to sell this game. Seriously, we have to sell this game?
McHale picked up the fumble, raced 52 yards for a touchdown, and they got the lead. The Eagles got the lead that they would never relinquish. I nailed the score, by the way. Eagles 27, San Francisco 24.
Nice. Well done.
Thank you very much. I got to give myself props for something.
Something this week. Aside from Baltimore Ravens winning. Gee, is that all we can count on?
Yeah.
Beating the Broncos at home?
I don't know why I didn't make this the challenge game. Oh, wait, I changed this game at the last minute. That's why.
Yeah.
I just felt there's just something about the Niners offense.
It's not working.
Yeah,
nothing's working there.
And what I wound up saying was, I don't like whoever is calling the offensive plays for the 49ers.
Well, I mean, it looks at they're getting plays in on time, which they weren't with Jimmy Ray.
Woohoo!
Yeah, but it's, you know, it needs to be said, and it was in Mayoko's column. You can go back and read his archive on his blog at Comcast Sports, and you should read his comments because he's got a lot of in-depth analysis of this team, which, as I said, when I saw him this summer, I just was not terribly impressed. which is why I couldn't give my love to them. I gave it instead to the Houston Texans that have been two games better than this.
There you go. All right, game moving on to games of importance. The
now,
San Diego,
we're going to rattle through these quickly, yes, even though most of them were upsets, okay?
San Diego at Oakland. This is a big upset.
San Diego, pooper Chargers.
No, is that what we decided?
No, nah, we didn't. Pooper. I don't remember things.
Sometimes Chargers?
Sometimes Chargers.
They were not Chargers this week.
No, they were
Look,
awful.
When you start the game with a block punt for a safety, and then a block punt for a touchdown, and then another turnover, and you give the Oakland Raiders a three. It was 12-0.
Steven, I'm getting queasy.
The deal is, Jeff, they spotted the Raiders 12 points.
Well, and we were
and
making,
they still almost won the game.
We were making fun of Matt there at Dave & Buster's and saying since they usually win by 14.4 points, they're trying to give them that many points to begin the game with. Ha, 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 ha. Yes. Aren't we witty and aren't we clever? We're surrounded by Raiders fans.
Yes.
Aren't we witty? Aren't we clever?
We
Watch
were witty.
Them.
We were witty for a long time. The Chargers actually came back to take the lead.
They were horrible.
They were winning 17-15 at the half.
Yeah, that was
After
at the half.
After spotting the Raiders 12 points, they were winning at halftime.
Then they went up 24-15 in the third quarter. Oh, my gosh. And we were looking like the smartest men alive. We're like, look at this. See, now they're 9 points up. Ha, ha, ha. Aren't we witty? Aren't we clever? Aren't we funny? No, we're wrong. And I'm so hacked off about this game. Sebastian Janikowski, 64-yard fumble return.
Yep.
Tyvon Branch.
At the end of the game.
58 seconds left on the clock. Seabass makes a little extra point, puts them ahead 35-27. Game, set, and match.
I still think that was not a fumble, and that was an incomplete pass. His arm was going forward. I don't care what anybody says.
San Diego deserved to lose.
His arm was going forward, though.
San Diego deserved to lose.
But
had
you know
I known
what?
That they started the last few seasons 2-4, I would have taken the Raiders in this game.
Phillip Rivers... 431 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Look, it's not Rivers. We talked to him early. He said he was going to try and get this team to start off a little bit better. And
what else can he do?
He has done everything.
This is the second time, Steven, he's thrown for over 430 and lost this year.
It's not his fault. He don't play defense.
Agreed.
He don't play special teams.
I think he might be auditioning.
You think Phillip Rivers said, hey, guys, let's let them block 2 punts. In the beginning of the game, and let's give him 12 points.
Because I'm that good. That's not Phillip. That's not Phillip.
I don't think that's what he said.
Nope. No. Oh, what an upsetting game.
At least the good thing is they finally started to believe in Malcolm Floyd and started getting him the ball. 8 catches for 213 yards and a touchdown. And I think he's starting to get people to say, Vincent who?
Vincent who? Look, I still think V-Jax makes his team better, but Phil Simms, check out the company that Rivers is keeping. Okay, here's the other quarterbacks that have thrown for this many yards and lost. Philip Rivers may end up in the Hall of Fame, dude. He's keeping company with Phil Simms and Dan Marino. Dan Marino had 4 games where this happened, and Phil Simms had 3 career games with at least 430 and losing.
Well,
so there you go. You're keeping good company.
He currently leads all quarterbacks with 1,759 passing yards.
Jeez, could you imagine if he got to 5,000 and this was a less than 8-8 team?
It's a possibility.
That would be the weirdest thing in the world.
It is a possibility.
Although I suspect Dan Marino had many losing seasons in his Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, that's true, too.
And put up over 4,000 yards. But to get to the 5,000, no one's done that. On a losing team. Gosh, that's sick.
1759 after 5 games.
That's
and,
sick.
That is a pretty nice pace.
That's on pace for nearly 6,000 yards. Although no one can sustain this. Steven, it's getting late. I'm getting tired. I can't even talk. Costanza.
All right. Anyways, Oakland wins.
I don't have any cutlery.
Oakland improves to 2-3. San Diego falls to 2-3. Hey, you know what? They're all 2-3.
Hey.
All right, moving on. The Atlanta Falcons. Thank you, Atlanta. Go to Cleveland to play the Browns.
If there's one thing you can be assured of, it's that Atlanta will win handily.
No, they not don't... handily. They'll win close games.
Well,
this was a close game till the very end. I mean, the final was 20-10.
Okay. It's reminding me of the scene from Fletch. where he's pretending to be a doctor or this guy's friend, and he doesn't even know him. He's talking about the dead guy. It's a shame what happened. And the doctor says, it just happened so suddenly. He was terminal for 6 years. Yeah, but the end, I mean, came so quickly. Well, he was hanging on for 2 weeks. He was just on his dying breath. But the very, very end was so unexpected.
Yes, it was.
Chevy Chase, man, great movie.
This game was in question till the end, Jeffrey. Until the Atlanta
the very,
Falcons.
Very end.
Cleveland actually led at halftime 7-6.
I fully expected the Brownies to win this.
Yeah,
the Orange Helmets pissing me off.
Just the way everything was going.
That's right. It was the day from hell.
But Atlanta said, no, we know how to win close games, and they pulled it out of the end, win 20-10 over the Cleveland Browns. Atlanta improves, Jeffrey, to a very nice 4-1, while Cleveland drops to 4-1. And ask me who they got that win over.
Whom did they beat?
Cincinnati Bengals. In their division.
So I love the burner, Michael Turner. Less than 20 carries, 140 yards.
Yes. He, too, had a very
55-yard ripoff, yes, that skewed things, unfortunately. What? It was great. Steven, without that carry, he's like 18 carries for 90 yards.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, it's still great, yes.
Okay, yes. So Michael Turner had a fantastic game, and he's still nursing a little injury there.
He didn't get in the end zone. So
Peyton Hillis, unfortunately, the wheels have come off the Hillis wagon.
Well, it was hard. I mean, he still scored a touchdown.
Yes, he
scored a receiving touchdown.
Okay, receiving touchdown.
He had 49 yards receiving. He caught one nice little curl pass and took it to the house. So he's still finding the end zone, though, and he's a little – that's his job now. He's not losing that job. Duh.
Yeah.
Harrison comes back from whatever injury he has this week. Jerome Harrison. I'm sorry. I'm making fun of him, but
it's okay. The Browns had to use wildcat a lot.
Well,
because of the injuries.
Yeah.
To
Seneca
the
Wallace, Jake DeLome. There was a Jake DeLome sighting, and you know, on his very first pass, he almost threw an interception. And that's not a joke. I saw his first pass. I'm like, oh, Jake DeLome's there. Oh, ooh.
How about that pass tonight by Randy Moss that opened the game to?
Yeah.
Heck happened there? Why was Brett Favre ineligible?
When a quarterback starts under center,
right,
he is an ineligible receiver.
So they'd have to declare him an eligible receiver.
In order for a quarterback to be an eligible receiver, he has to start in a shotgun formation.
That's an obscure rule.
It's not very obscure. I mean,
it makes sense, but I'm saying it's not a rule I knew, so I call it obscure, and I know a lot of rules.
Right. So a quarterback has to be in shotgun formation in order for him
I've seen quarterbacks catch passes a million times.
They're in shotgun formation.
I see. So what happened on that play?
Well, it was going to be a reverse, and it was a reverse to Moss.
And Moss felt like it was all exploded?
He was under center. He handed it to Harvin. Harvin then tossed it to Moss. Moss was going to throw the deep ball.
It seemed like it was an option.
No, Moss was throwing a deep ball.
So he was supposed to throw a
deep ball. But that was covered.
So he checked
so
it down
Moss
to Brett
saw
Favre.
Brett Favre, who Brett Favre had come out because he always rolls out to pretend like he's going to block.
And he frequently does block.
Right. Except this time, Moss was like, well, he's wide open. Let's just throw it to him.
Yeah,
and
that's because you're not a quarterback. Randy, that you didn't know this.
Yeah, you can't
throw
Randy should have ran with it.
You shouldn't check it down. You shouldn't go through your route tree, Randy.
Yeah,
you have one play. If that's covered, you run.
Yeah, that's he forgot.
You don't have a route tree. You're a wide receiver.
Yeah. I love that Brett caught it, though, still.
It was ugly throwing an ugly catch. It was ugly all around.
There you go. Anyways, 2010, Atlanta improves 4-1, Cleveland 1-4. Moving on, the final two games. They were what we have the nap games.
Oh, God. There's the tiger.
Sleepy tiger.
Sleepy tiger's going to eat you.
Jacksonville at Buffalo. You know what? There were a lot of points scored there. Jacksonville gets the win.
There was a hat load of points scored, Steven.
36-26. All I know is that this was my one guarantee. I knew Jacksonville was going to win this game. And then I look up, and it's 10-0 Buffalo. And I'm like,
this I guarantee.
I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, I've done that. I've done that bad.
I know.
That's
how bad
a week it is. The one game you're going to win is Jacksonville, and they're down 10-0. Seriously?
They You know what? And it looked really bad because I was actually watching the beginning of that game, not because you're guaranteed, but for some reason I was kind of asphyxiated with that game.
Yes.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick looked so good.
They looked great coming out.
They were on fire. They were playing with energy. It was like they were fueled. It was like Perry Fuel was back. And they were playing with
that
spark. Very nice
touchdown pass to Lee Evans. And the next thing you know, it's 10-0. But then Jacksonville woke up and David Garrard found his best friend, Mercedes Lewis.
And if you listen to your buddy, you would have known to not throw him to the side.
That's right.
Do not discard him.
Mercedes Lewis had another 54-yard game and two, not one, but two touchdowns, making him David Garrard's favorite passer. And there was a Mike Sims Walker.
There was a big Mike Sims Walker sighting.
He had 50 yards with a touchdown catch. Jacksonville kind of cruised at once they took the lead. It was tied 13-13 at halftime.
MJD easily would have rushed for over 100 yards had they kept him
Had they kept him in the game.
Right. Instead, he had 84 when they pulled him out because they were winning by so much.
Yeah, they took a 14-point lead in the third and wound up winning comfortably with a 10-point lead, 36-26, the final there. Jacksonville improves to 3-2 while the Buffalo Bills remain winless at 0-5.
And are likely to remain that way.
And the final game, do we start? An 0-16 watch on the Bills?
I'm starting one on both teams.
On the Bills
and the Panthers.
The Niners?
Not the Niners. The Niners are going to win again. The Niners are too good a team to not win.
Okay.
They will win eventually. I feel like we're being a little too hard on them.
Carolina and Buffalo, we get
They may never win a game.
All right.
That seems entirely possible.
Final game of the week, the one where Steven did the stupid flip-flop.
Flip-flop, flip-flop,
Chicago
flip-flop.
23, Carolina 6. Bears took an early 17-0 lead thanks to Matt Forte.
Is no longer pianissimo. He is mega Forte.
He is not pianissimo. He is Forte. Wow. And he had a 16-yard touchdown run, and then he had a 64-yard scamper. And the next thing you know, he rushed for 166 yards and two touchdowns. And Julius Peppers came back home.
Wow,
and
did he have a homecoming? He had
Panthers.
A home. He knocked balls down. He caught balls.
He knocked one up, and then he caught it.
He's laying on the ground, and he caught it. And the pride and joy of Illinois, Chicago Bears. My gosh, you guys, 4-1. Seriously?
Seriously?
The Bears are who we didn't know they were.
No, we didn't know they were this.
You know, you get Mike Martz, and then everything changes.
Let him off the hook. You let him off the hook.
Well, if you want to go ahead and crown their butts, then crown them.
He didn't say butts.
It's a family show.
Chicago
and I already
improves.
Said hell once. Oh, now I said it twice.
Chicago
Damn it.
Improves the 4-1. Carolina to 0-5. And that's all we got. Very interesting. Jeff got 6 games right. I got 5. overall, I'm at 44. Jeff's at 43. We got to get better, buddy.
I got 2 questions. I got a question and then I got a comment. So here's my question.
Are you taking any prescription medication?
Actually, yes, right now I am.
Well, that would explain some things. Because then my observation is just about life in general. And Shaquille O'Neal brings us this.
Good thing about America is you could always come back next year.
Come back next year, Steven.
I don't want to come back next year. Let's come back next week.
All right, let's come next week. And let's come back in 2 days.
Right now.
Well, given that it's Tuesday right now, let's come back tomorrow.
What about? Well, I'm telling you, I'm going out right here.
This, I guarantee.
I'm going to win more games.
Double digits next week.
Well,
double digit
no way.
Wins.
Not this season.
Double digit wins next week.
First of all, you move to 7 or 8 teams on bye, 8 teams on bye weeks?
No, just 4 still.
Okay, when do we go to the, because that's when it gets impossible. It's impossible to get double digits.
There's only ever 6.
There's 1 week where there's like hardly any games. They actually don't play any games 1 week.
The most,
the whole league's on a bye.
The most is 6 teams will be on a bye. That happens 1 week. That's later on.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the other 7 months of the season where there's no football.
Yeah, exactly.
God, I hate how short they
are. So there's still 14 games next week.
And double digits.
I will do better, 10-4 better. I'm guaranteed.
This, I guarantee.
If I don't get it, you could punch me.
I don't want to punch
really
you.
Really hard, right in the muscle.
Although that sounds really appealing.
See?
I don't know why. Is this why you hit me so often?
Because it's appealing, sure.
But I don't ever want to hit you, but I feel
you've
like
never,
it now.
You've never just wanted to just whack your buddy? You guys never did dead arms?
Dude, we invented the game.
Yeah.
The game was, and this was what...
You played some really whacked out games with, like,
we did.
What was it, headbang?
Mall
or
ball.
What was it? Mall ball.
Mall
there
ball, which I officially wrote up the rules on our old
rules?
Website.
Well, put it
Dude,
on the
it was on our old message boards,
well,
which
can,
got
can,
lost.
I've got all the old message boards.
You need to go find the rules to Mall ball.
I will do that.
Because we had it all depended on basically on what color stars you saw
yes.
when you got smacked in the head with a half-flat volleyball. Some your buddy bashes you in the brain, and you have to call out what color stars you're seeing. But the game involved...
That game doesn't sound fun to me.
It was a blast if you have the ball. That was the point, was to make sure you had the ball. Because then you're smashing people in the head.
Yeah.
And the game was to get the ball from the guy who has the ball.
But eventually someone's going to get the ball and smash you on the head.
Not if you keep the ball the whole time.
And that just doesn't sound appealing.
Well, you see, you're too big a pussy. You wouldn't have gotten the ball. I would have had the ball and he would have been like, yellow... Blue, white, and I'm just racking up the points. Like, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah, doesn't sound fun.
But I'll punch you, don't worry. So we had the game where we stood in a big circle, and we took turns punching each other's right arm.
But
and then
minute.
Eventually you turn around, and you get to punch the person that's been punching you.
Oh, so wait a minute. So, but if I do get 10 or more, I get to punch you in the arm.
I want steak, but I'm fine with that as a consolation prize. Because you ain't getting double digits on a week of 14 games.
So I'm 10-4 or better.
Yeah, 10-4, 11-3, 12-2, 14-0, 13-1.
I punch you less than that, 9 or less.
And no lame-ass excuses like, well, if so-and-so had made a kick or something, if he had made the 6-yard field goal, and if the snowball hadn't come out and hit the kicker in the face.
Just FYI, there's no 6-yard field goal.
This is my point, Steven. Impossible scenarios. But which always seem to happen when we have a wager. This is my problem. I never get to taste the fruits of my victory.
There was no victory. Darrell Revis.
Knocked
out of the game.
The island got sunk.
He sunk.
So just because Randy Moss
lost.
Didn't do jack.
He scored a touchdown.
One catch. That means he dominated.
For a touchdown.
He dominated. And I said he would have 2 touchdowns and 300 yards.
That's not what I said.
Something like that. Anyway, we got to get out of here,
we
dude.
Do.
But
all
I just want to stay, man.
Thank you to Matt Mayoko from Comcast.
CSN Bay Area. Comcast Sports Bay Area.
Yes.
Go out and read his blog if you care at all about the 49ers. He's got the inside poop on
yes,
everything.
Yes, he does. He is our... so he will he be in London covering the team?
Yeah.
Oh, so we get to hang out with him
yes.
in London.
And the guy whose name I can never remember.
Barrows.
I've never known a Barrows.
Yeah.
I've got
just
a wheelbarrow.
Remember, you know Carrows, right? You go to Carrows?
I never went to Carrows because it scared me.
Oh, okay. Because it kind of sounds
it
like...
It seemed like an old
Carrows?
People place.
It is an old people place.
I don't go there.
Anyways, this has been Steven Miranda.
And Jeff Ellis. Thanks
NFL
for hanging in there. NFL
Rants and Raves. We'll talk to you soon. We're out.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. Sorry about that, Chief.